Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Send up all fat men, send us straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. Like, yeah, yeah, like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch here. Kevin in the booth. The guys will be here momentarily.
Just the two of us, Freddie.
Yeah, just the two of us. They're wrapping it up in the locker room. They'll be here pretty soon. Bill Belichick is about to do a press conference in about 15 minutes. We'll let him do that. If you want to switch over from us and listen to that live on Patriots.com, you can. But I would, you know, prefer that you stay with us and listen to Bill after the fact. And, of course, if there's any breaking news, we'll get it to you. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's how you can send an email to the show, or you can call us at 508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Either way, get involved. So the news today is that the Patriots have placed Stephen Gostkowski on IR. That's a tough break for the team, for Gostkowski. You know, the reports that it could be up to 2 weeks. Obviously, we're not true. Whatever that source was.
I disagree with that.
Paul's here.
I got to start right off. I got to disagree with that.
Why do you disagree with that?
Well,
it's wrong.
No, it's not.
He's on IR. It's not going to be 2 games.
I think 2 games is too long to wait for a kicker to recuperate. You have to put him on IR and replace him. I don't think the report that it was a quad injury is wrong. It was going to be
That's not
weeks.
What I said was
I don't
wrong.
I don't think they can wait 2 weeks.
I know.
Think they need to put him on IR.
But there was never it was never out there. It was never from any legitimate source saying, yeah, it could be 2 weeks.
No, but what I'm saying is one doesn't necessarily negate the other as you are connecting the dots here.
Whoever
clearly, a running back, you can wait because you have other running backs on the roster. An offensive lineman, you can wait because you have other guys to replace him. You don't have another kicker. You need to make a roster move if it's going to be more than a week.
I can't believe he's arguing with me about this.
Well, just your terminology, that's all.
The source speculated it could be 2 weeks. They were wrong. It was an IR situation.
The source speculated about the injury and the length it would take to recover from it, not whether or not they would make a roster move. Unless I didn't read a story that you read.
Okay. Anyway.
That's the only thing I would disagree with you about.
Right off the bat. Anyway, Gostkowski's on IR. And also Ingram. Jake Ingram has been released. He's been having his trouble, particularly on the punt snaps. And, you know, Bill Belichick, there's no room for error here. So he's gone, and in is Matt Catula, who has been around, spent the training camp with the Ravens, and got waived.
Yeah.
So he's been out there. He's a free agent.
He's been a long snapper in the league. He spent 4 or 5 years
with
the Ravens. And he also worked with Shane Graham in Baltimore.
Oh, that makes sense.
Graham didn't make the Ravens either, but they did get time to work together. I don't know if that had anything to do with Belichick's decision to sign both, or he simply felt those were the two best available on the open market right now. But I don't think it hurts Freddie to have two guys that have a little bit of familiarity with them, with each other. And Katula actually said it was nice to have a familiar face right when he got off the plane. He saw Shane and made it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, Graham's been around. It's not like he's and he's had some success. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, he's a veteran NFL kicker. Yeah, I mean, just you know how those guys are, Freddie. It can be fleeting. It's such a, defined skill.
It's like a golf swing.
Yeah.
You get hot.
It's a learned practice, and it can come and go. Now, he's had success in the league. The last time we saw him, not so much. He missed some short field goals in the playoff game for the Bengals last year, and ultimately, that's probably why they decided to move on. He just didn't do the job.
Yep. By the way, strippers just let us know that our show on Comcast is going to be on 5 o'clock Thursday.
This week it's 5 o'clock?
That's ridiculous.
They're back to another Thursday night Celtics game?
Yeah.
It's the Celtics Heat.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. So it's an important game. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's...
So the Heat lost again last night, Fred. That's 5-3.
Did they lose?
Yeah.
Really?
Who
did they lose
to? Blew a 22-point lead to Utah.
Okay. I really don't care.
I got to be honest with you, I don't either.
So that's the big news, big special team shakeup.
You speculated yesterday about Kostowski that perhaps he would be going to IR.
Yeah.
So this doesn't hit you as
I'm not surprised.
Surprise.
I'm not surprised. And that's why I kind of was making fun of those reports, because when they came out, I kind of knew.
Yeah, I didn't read anybody that, in defense of you, I didn't read anybody that speculated that he might be going to IR, not one.
No.
And I had mentioned that today. This morning downstairs when we did we taped our segment of All Access, I had mentioned that let's be careful how we deal with Gostkowski, because you never know, he could be on IR by the end of the week. And I was looked at with a lot of puzzling looks.
And you're right. They're not about to, hold on to him and bring in another guy and take up another roster spot, while he gets better. You just can't do that.
You can't do it with a kicker, because you have nobody on the roster that can do the job. So now you're basically robbing yourself of two spots.
Right.
Because you're taking the kicker out, and you have to take a player off the roster to make room for him.
Right.
So you can't do it.
So not
when they didn't have a move yesterday, everybody said they were signing Shane Graham. And when they didn't have an accompanying roster move, I said to myself, Freddie's got this one. He's going to end up on IR.
So not the ideal situation for the Patriots, but manageable. I mean, I'm sure they're out there right now doing the snap and hold and getting that all down.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, listen, it's not ideal. Kostowski's a good kicker. His kickoffs were becoming a bit of a weapon for this team, I think. And, actually, if you look at it, Freddie, maybe covering up some of their coverage deficiencies, because the coverage hasn't been quite as good lately as it was earlier in the week – in the year, rather. Maybe that was due to the fact that he had so many touchbacks that we didn't really notice it.
Yeah. Now – I think, you were in the locker room. Let's talk about that first, because there's a subject that's kind of the subject du jour, at least on ESPN Boston today, and I think in either the Globe or the Herald, about the stats since Randy Moss has left.
Huge.
Yeah, so that's what everyone's talking about. But before we get into that, Paul, why don't you tell us about the locker room?
Well, the locker room today was fairly
interesting.
By
the way, I just walked by Bob Costas.
It's funny. I was walking with Mike Reese earlier this morning, and there were three or four people coming with Stacey James, the media relations director, and I didn't recognize any of them. One of them introduced themselves to Mike because he had worked with Mike's dad.
Oh.
And Mike's dad, Roy Reese, was a longtime sports anchor here in Boston back in the 70s and 80s.
Actually worked with John Dennis.
And he actually works with us now at the Hall of Patriot Place.
Right.
But anyway, the gentleman introduced himself to Mike and said that he worked with Bob Costas.
Yeah, Bob was here. I just walked by him in the hall. He is tiny.
Tiny. He's a short guy.
Yeah,
he is.
Not just short, but small.
Yeah, he's smaller than Adam Schefter. And Adam Schefter, as we know, needs a box when he's on TV to stand on. That's fact, not opinion, as Felger says.
Anyway, so he's in the house, assumingly getting interviews for the Sunday night game, which they'll show.
Yeah.
So going back to the locker room.
Locker room was interesting. We had, as you mentioned, both a new kicker and new long snappers. Shane Graham held court for a long time. and Matt Catula as well. Is that, that's how you pronounce his name, isn't it? Catula? Yeah.
Or could be Catula, but I doubt it.
I think it's Catula.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Eric.
Well, Eric will tell you how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Right.
But also, there was a Fred Taylor sighting today.
He
expects to practice this week. Had some interesting comments about his injury when he first... It's a turf toe injury, which we all kind of assumed. When he got the first diagnosis and it was about the ligaments, it brought him to tears. It initially looked like he was going to need surgery.
Really?
And he thought he was done. He thought that would be it. Turned out it wasn't that severe that it needed surgery. Obviously needed rest, and a fair amount of rest. He's been out 5 weeks now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he is hopeful that he can get back sooner rather than later. He talked for a while today, too. I wasn't in on that particular interview because I was interviewing Rob Ninkovich for the TV show at the time. But in talking to some of the people about that interview with Taylor, he was interesting. And I noticed a lot of people threw out their tweets about it because you now have me monitoring Twitter,
right.
The Twitter. So
it's helpful.
Yeah,
you
Fred Taylor.
Twitter's helpful.
Fred Taylor, it was an interesting locker room today. There weren't a lot of people in it. I mean, Tom Brady talked. I have no idea. Don't yell at me like you yell at Eric. I have no idea what Tom Brady said. He was in the media workroom, and there was 1,000 other things going on at the time. Tom Brady also spoke today, and I would imagine he was asked some questions about what you mentioned.
But he spoke at the podium?
Yes, he was in the
it's
media workroom.
A little change-up. He felt...
Well, that's what he did last week. I was surprised that he stayed with it because they lost.
Oh, right. Okay. Obviously, Brady.
Dolphins signed Al Harris to a 1-year contract.
Oh, all right.
There's a guy that we got some emails about for the Patriots.
Yep, cornerback for the Green Bay Packers. Been there for a long time. Jeez.
Max Starks officially on IR as well. Ooh. Just watching the ESPN scroll.
Didn't the Dolphins release their cornerback Allen, and that made room for Al Harris?
I don't know.
Allen?
They released Jason.
Jason
Allen.
Allen? Yeah. No. That's a good move.
He's playing like a turd.
Jason Allen, KP.
Well,
can't play.
Max Stark, that line was already porous. That's not going to help them at all. And they're banged up. Pouncey got hurt, came back. And the other guy, can't pronounce his name.
Kimowatu?
Yeah, he's banged up. So
I have no idea if that's right, by the way.
We'll talk about
Chris Kimowatu.
We'll talk about the Steelers a little bit later. But that is, if you're looking for vulnerabilities, the offensive line.
I just wish that we had something to attack that vulnerability with.
Well,
I'm being dead serious.
No,
I'm not trying to be a smartass.
No, I know what you're saying.
If we had a team that sort of, provided consistent pressure on the quarterback, I would say, well, we can maybe get Roethlisberger, 7, 8, 9 times with their offensive line. But, if we come up with 2 or 3, that's a drastic improvement over what we normally do. But is that really enough to impact the game? I don't know.
Right. What else in the locker room? Taylor was there. You talked to Ninkovich. Brady talked at the podium.
The kicker, the long snapper, and that's basically
Were they available?
It. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they talked for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Well, the kicker talked for pretty much the entire time.
Okay. How do they look? I mean, I know the snapper, he's a big guy.
He is very tall.
Yeah,
very tall. And as I said, I was in on his interview, and he just said that he wasn't ready to be done with football. You can only watch so much when you want to be in it. He kept working out. He never gave up. He figured he'd get a chance. You never know how it's going to work out. And he's here, and he's excited about it.
Steve DiOssi might have been available for long snapping duties.
His son just signed a 2-year contract extension, I saw.
Did he?
Zach DiOssi.
With?
The Giants.
Giants. Still with them. All right. So
this is really all we have?
That's the update. Web radio at patriots.com.
508-543. This is going to be worse than the AK-47 show.
No.
We're going to be down to about 30 followers.
We haven't even started on the emails. We got a lot of emails. A
lot of emails.
All right, so let's...
Now you know Kevin's going to be tracking it.
Let's get to this... as I call it, story du jour, which is
on your tone, I'm guessing you're poo-pooing a lot.
Well, first, you
better not read my
Strippers
commentary.
Is nice enough to send us what ESPN Boston has said, so we'll just throw this out there and then we'll work off of it. It says, overall, the Patriots have a 33.3% third down conversion rate since the Moss trade, which ranks tied for 25th in the NFL. Compare that to the first 4 games of the season, during which they led the NFL at 55.3. Okay. It's a big reason Zoltan Mesko has twice as many punts in the past four games as he did in the first four. In the first four games of the season, Brady was 13 for 17, 76.5% on third down. With 3 to 7 yards to go, he got the first down 76.5% of the time and had a sparkling 142.2 passer rating on those plays. Since then, he's just 7 for 18, 38.9%, with only one-third of the plays moving the chains. Okay, can't argue with the numbers. But here's the thing that, first of all, there's another guy that they lost who was a key third-down guy, and that is Kevin Falk. You know, so you got to factor that into it.
But the guy they replaced him with has been phenomenal.
He's been okay. You know, but
better than okay.
Are they able to do the same things with him that they felt they could do with Falk? I don't know.
Most likely not. Yeah. I definitely would.
I don't know.
On your side with that, definitely not. You know, can't ask a guy who just got here to do the same things that Kevin Falk has been doing for a decade.
Right. So I'm not sure about that. I'm also not sure about what the trajectory of the offense was even with Moss.
Well, you know, the number. See, here's where I'm gonna buttonhook you because I'm gonna kind of agree with you.
Okay.
I think that 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily make 2 in this situation. The numbers are what they are; they're indisputable. Okay. The statistics are unbelievably off from the last four games compared to the first four games with and without Moss. Yeah. I just don't think it's as simple as you take Moss out of the equation and this is what you get.
Look, and as good as Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis has been at times, I really think that the lack of a first and second down running game has hurt. It hurts your third down. It really does. You know, if you're looking at any type of pattern in play calling, it's pass, run, pass with the Patriots. And if that first pass on first down doesn't set up a second and five or better, they're kind of in trouble because they hand off on second down, and if that doesn't get you 2-3 yards, now you're talking about third and six or worse.
Well, the funny thing is that they've been good on third and short, and they've been good in third and long. It's the middle one that you just read the numbers to, third and 3 to 7, that they were outstanding at with Moss, and they've struggled at without him. I think there are a lot of factors involved, and I think they've all – they're all part of it. Number one is something that you've been talking about for a couple of weeks, Freddie, and you're right. The last 4 weeks, they've played pretty good defenses.
Right, right.
They played Baltimore, Minnesota, San Diego, and, you know, not as much this week with Cleveland, but still not a bad defense. The defense that I think has been exposed by its offense being on the field too much. But be that as it may, I think they had at least 3 fairly good defenses that they faced. Number two, I also think that the fact that Fred Taylor isn't there, you know, the way he was for most of the first four games and hasn't been there for any of the last four, I think to your point about the first down running and early down running is valid.
He's
more of a threat. The other team,
right,
I don't think, has to treat Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis as a
right.
threat. If he beats you, he beats you.
Right.
I'd rather have him beat me than Tom
and
Brady.
And he's not going to outrun anyone. And, you know, the second thing is, you know, Sammy Morris isn't a factor either.
Well, he hasn't been
game.
A factor at all.
No,
all
that's
year.
What I'm saying. I mean,
but the other part that I think, and I don't have the numbers to back this up, but it seems to me, Freddie, that when they get in trouble offensively, it's when they commit a penalty. You know, I think that penalties have really short-circuited a lot of their drives.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the penalties have been on the rise lately. I don't have the numbers on that, but here's the thing that you can't get around. I thought that the offense without Moss would be fine. I said that the day they traded him. You have to back me up on this. I never had a problem with the Moss trade.
Neither did
from day one.
Right.
I didn't think they would be better, as some like Mike Felger continue to pound away at. I didn't think they would be better without Moss. I thought they would be different, but fine.
Right.
They haven't been fine.
Right.
I was wrong.
No, they haven't.
I was wrong.
But but what I'm wondering is, was there signs of a downward trajectory that would have happened even if Moss had stayed? We'll never know.
Yeah. You know, the points, I ignore the points because they did get a lot of return touchdowns in the first four games of the season. They had 2 in the opener with Brandon Tate and Gary Guyton. They had 700 in that Miami game. I mean, it seemed like every play was a return touchdown. Tate returned a kick. Chung returned a block, an interception, rather. Arrington returned a blocked field goal. They blocked a punt and recovered inside the 10. They had a lot of return touchdowns in the first four games of the season. So I'm not going to get carried away with the point totals. But the productivity has dropped. I don't know if that's all about Moss. It's just a fact. It's dropped. That's all I would say.
I mean, there's so many, you know, teams, you know, seeing Gronkowski and Hernandez on tape. You know, teams seeing that the running game isn't really a threat. Deion Branch being not 100%.
No one can
Wes
run
Welker
by you on this.
Not
on
being
this
100%. You know, all these factors are there, and they're legitimate factors. It's not just Randy Moss.
Yeah, the only thing about it is Welker was the same guy when Moss was here.
No, I know, but now you take away Moss and he's not 100%.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I know. That's why people are jumping to these kinds of conclusions. Again.
And you add Branch, who immediately, you know, tweaks his hamstring.
But it's still the offense with and without Moss.
Yeah, no. And like you said, you can't dispute the numbers. You can't dispute the numbers.
And I can't. As much as I want to sit here and dismiss it all as being nonsense with Moss, you know I don't like Moss. Never warmed up to him. Yeah. I was awed by his physical abilities, for sure.
Yeah.
But I can't dismiss it as out of hand because the numbers speak for themselves. Right. And, the productivity has dropped dramatically.
You know, now, I still think that they're going to work it out. I do. But, you know, Pittsburgh's a good defense. They probably won't work it out this week.
They've always seemed to succeed against, however.
Yeah, you're right.
This is a matchup that's been favorable to them quite often.
And maybe that's because Belichick really understands their zone blitz scheme and knows how to attack it the right way. I think it's going to come down to, you know, like I always do in these types of games, offensive line, defensive line. Can they protect Brady and give him time? And can we take advantage of that Pittsburgh offensive line? I'm not sure.
I think you're right. Yeah. This game, we could talk about a lot of different things, but you might be able to boil it down with exactly what you said.
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to dispute everything you say today.
Well, Brady. I think
no matter how hard you try,
but
you I'm not going to argue with you all day.
I think definitely
today.
You should pound Felger today because, you know,
please.
You and I are sitting here
That's
thinking,
candy from a baby.
You know, how can you dispute the facts? How's he going to be able to?
He will.
Yeah.
He will. He'll tell me that they're scoring more now. He actually told me last week they're scoring more without Moss than they were with them, and they're winning more without Moss than with them. Both of those facts were completely wrong.
Right.
But it didn't matter.
Right.
You know, and now I have 3-1 with, 3-1 without. So, we'll see. You know, if they had won last week, then his point about they're winning more without him would have been valid.
Yeah.
But to that point, it was wrong.
So, all right. WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Belichick's doing a press conference now. That's where Eric and Andy are.
Well, Andy's not here.
Where's Andy?
You know where Andy is.
He's got, what, tests?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got his test.
Can you test for, you know, latent homosexuality?
Brains?
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think you have a phone call.
I do?
I don't know. I think that's what Junior in the booth is trying to get
you. You mean
attention.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline?
Sure.
Okay, let's go to it then. It's Tyrone from Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, man, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Oh, well, I've been getting teased all since Sunday afternoon. I've been getting teased. Everybody teasing me about the Browns loss. So I'm right now borderline-ish.
Borderline what? Suicidal or?
No, just,
a homicidal?
I ain't doing none of that. No way. But I'm talking about as far as my mood.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, even keel right now.
Have you explained this game in your own head, Tyrone? What's your rationalization for how poorly the Patriots played on Sunday?
My rationalization is, you know, offensive line. And I said, you know, after the San Diego win, I wasn't pleased. And I think Paul has shared my sentiments. I wasn't really pleased about that win. And like I said, you know, I know we wasn't going to be better without Moss, but I thought we'd have been fine. You know, probably.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I agree.
You know, but it's just that we not the offensive line, like you said earlier, is not getting the push for our, you know, early downs. So Brady won't have to be in third and long all the time. You know, that offensive line needs work, and we did not address. I keep on saying that's the reason, you know, as old school as Bill Belichick is, he know that the games are won in the trenches. We don't have a good defensive line. We don't have a good offensive line, and this is what you're getting. It's no ifs and ands about it. I don't know how we're going to fare against Pittsburgh, but like I said, and I think another thing that bothers me is the play. I don't know if the play calling, but what I noticed is we're like Ben Watson. We had him for all this time, and all of a sudden he looked like an all-pro. What's the deal with that? What's going on?
Well, I don't know if he looks like an all-pro. Yeah. I mean, he's getting
sick. He got the most touchdowns on the team.
Yeah, he's the leading receiver for a team that can't throw the football, basically.
And we're also seeing it from afar. We don't know.
Yeah, and on Sunday, he was targeted 4 times and made 1 catch. So, I mean, Benjamin Watson, I wish him well. He's a nice guy, but he's not the answer. The two tight ends you have right now are going to be better players than Benjamin Watson. Both of them will be.
No doubt. But what I'm saying is, I don't know because, the two players, no doubt. But what I'm saying is, it's like sometimes I don't see that we're not, since Josh McDaniels left, the offense look kind of bland. That's what I'm trying to say. And something's going on. And why are we not using Algie Crumpler? You know, nobody I'm at the Jets with, they use everybody on the 53-man roster. They throw every stuff at you.
For which team?
The Jets.
And you want that offense?
No, but what I'm saying is we got a lot of players on the roster that we don't. I don't know what's going on, but we need production from somewhere else.
Well, I agree.
They do. They need production from somewhere else. That's a good point.
They need more production from Welker and Branch. That's where they need more production from.
But they key in on Welker.
I know.
Get him open.
Set some picks, whatever. Illegal picks, I don't care. But you got to get him open somehow. And, you know, teams, you know, Branch and Welker are small guys, and teams are giving them a hard time off the line of scrimmage. You know, this reminds me with the second Patriots Super Bowl when, you know, the Panthers came right out there and said, you know, we're gonna not let them get off the line, and the Patriots took that to heart. And, you know, really kind of David Givens and Branch out-physicaled the Carolina cornerbacks. They made it. They got to get back to that mindset that they're not going to allow themselves to be stopped at the line of scrimmage.
I understand that, but if Tate ain't giving you anything, they've been a disappointment to me so far.
Who
I don't know about you guys, Brandon Tate.
Oh.
Because he's not getting open. The times when I'm seeing him, he's not open at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I think he's still learning.
I want broken play.
You're right, Tyrone, you're absolutely right. I think he's still learning, but he has not progressed as a receiver to the point, I think, that many of us had hoped. I thought that maybe he could sort of fill in as a complimentary guy. And Freddie, Tyrone's right. He has not really been a consistent factor in the offense. But, yeah, they're going to need to find ways to move the football consistently. They're still searching for it. It's not there yet. It's not there.
Yeah, and, you know, Woodhead has caught a couple passes out of the backfield. But, we talked earlier about Kevin Faulk. He's not, you know,
You're right. You got to find a way. You said Welker and Branch.
Yeah.
Because you can complete the stuff to the backs and the little screens and stuff, and you can be efficient with that stuff. But I don't know how productive you can be with that. I don't know how many points you're going to score with that. You need to find ways to get the ball downfield.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about bombs. I'm just talking about downfield.
Yep.
15 yards, 15-yard outs consistently, 15, 20-yard in-cuts consistently.
Right.
Hernandez is there once in a while. It seems like once a game he breaks free for one of those, but not consistently.
Right.
And certainly they're getting nothing on the outside consistently from any of their receivers.
Yeah, so, it's a concern. It's one of the things that, you know, again, going into the beginning of the season, we thought, oh, don't have to worry about the offense. But we do right now. Defense, you know, I agree with Tyrone. I don't think that the defensive line is good enough to just line up and beat most offensive lines. They have to scheme on defense to do well right now. We don't have the personnel to just line up and beat other guys. Mayo was doing well, but I think, you know, the Browns, it just shows you how much they knew this team where – you know, they
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Yeah, they keyed on Mayo and said, we'll take our chances with Spikes, see if he can make the plays. And Spikes couldn't.
Yeah, and Mayo talked about how Cleveland, knowing and understanding how the Patriots' defense works.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mangini was the defensive coordinator. He felt that one of the things they tried to do was instead of, you know, making a lot of adjustments and allowing the Patriots' defense to adjust into what they wanted, he thinks that they tried to go fairly quickly without a ton of shifting in an effort to get the Patriots to play the defense that Cleveland wanted them or expected them to be in.
Right.
You know, in other words, the longer you wait and the more that you make your adjustments and shifts, the more the defense is going to shift into something that maybe catches you off guard. And that's what the way that Mangini felt the Patriots would do, because he knows how smart Belichick is, obviously.
Right.
And he knows that he's going to get them in the right thing and maybe have a better chance to disguise it. Mayo felt like Cleveland did a good job of not allowing them to disguise anything.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I'm going to, for the first time that I can remember, half hour into an argument that I had with you,
yeah,
I'm going to concede defeat.
Which one?
Because Adam the Gostkowski thing. We only had one argument.
I thought
today.
Bob Costas was small.
Adam Schefter is saying that it was a torn quad muscle, and if that's the case, then he wasn't going to be back in 2 weeks.
Right, right.
Now, I don't know if that report is right. I'm saying if that's the report and that's what he has,
yeah,
he wasn't going to be back in 2 weeks. Now, I think if they knew he was going to be out for 2 weeks or more, 2-3 weeks, I think they may have put him on IR anyway.
Anyway, yeah, no.
That was the only report. Right. That's the only part that I was trying to. But if he has a torn quad, none of the writers wrote that he had a torn quad.
Right.
They said that he was dealing with a quad injury strain, I think,
yeah,
and expected to be out a couple of weeks. I think they might have put him on IR anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. Josh writes in from Arlington, Virginia. He says, yesterday you guys were talking about the conspiracy email where a listener suggests the Patriots threw the game this past weekend. He used the Saints losing to the Browns as an example of why he thought it made sense.
I heard a guy call a radio show and say
probably
the same
thing.
Guy.
With the Steelers coming up, you guys were wondering who exactly was expecting the Saints to lose that game before it was played. I would say it was just about everyone. The reason being was that Thomas and Bush were out.
That the Saints were going to lose to the Steelers?
Yeah.
Why were they favored?
The reason being was that Thomas and Bush were out and Ivory was playing like crap. Essentially, the Saints had no run game, and everyone figured they would get buried by the pass rush without any run game to keep them honest. Also, Breeze had played such a terrible game the week before against the Browns. I think there was a pretty reasonable expectation that game would play to the Steelers' strengths, and they would control the game and win. Let's say, I want no part of this conspiracy that the Patriots lost on purpose. It's idiotic. They just played a crap game, and the defense was a little too high on themselves. Welcome back to Earth. Go Patriots. So, anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying that anybody who thought Pittsburgh was going to win was an idiot. I picked Pittsburgh to win that game. But I'm just saying the whole conspiracy about no one gave New Orleans a shot to beat Pittsburgh at home. They were favored in the game.
Were they?
Yeah.
By what?
It was a slight favorite, but they were a favorite.
Yeah. See, I would have picked. I picked Pittsburgh.
We probably did. I know I did. Yeah. Hey, Pittsburgh could have won the game. If Heath Miller doesn't fumble, they may have won.
No, I know. Yeah. Webradiopatriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Eric will be here soon, or will he?
Yeah, he'll come in after practice, I would think.
Oh, after practice. So
yeah, he'll be by.
He'll be by.
Okay. Did I use that properly, Andy?
Sure. There was no Pete Shepard show yesterday.
Why is that?
Pete had a personal thing he had to take care of, yeah. But one of our emailers writes in, hey, PFW and Pete, I have an awesome idea. Can we get a 1 to 2 hour post-game show from Fred Kirsch and Pete Shepard?
Fred, are you going to tell everybody whose idea that was?
It was Pete's. Well, whose idea?
Continue. Go ahead.
Fred, delegate
go
your post-game
work to your team. I can't handle
him
anymore.
Pete used to do a great job with the post-game show on EEI. I used to live in New Jersey, and I would go to the bar and watch the Patriots game. Then I would rush home to listen to Pete on the post-game show. Fred and Pete would be an awesome Homer post-game show. It would be, and I would enjoy doing that, but we just can't. Just have other things to do after the game, so...
Well, you could hire an editor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea, is not to add cost and people to the payroll.
Well, you know. Freelance editor
now,
would cost you what?
If the post-game show was going to make us millions of dollars.
A couple hundred bucks a week?
A good one?
You got to get a copy editor to come in one day.
What, 4 in the morning? Who's going to do that?
Don't make it out that they're all 4 in the morning.
They're not. But
2 or 3 times it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
You got to be consistent. Whatever your plan is, you got to make sure it's a plan that is that you can sustain over the course of the season.
I think I have mapped out a plan that would be consistent that you refuse to even try to implement.
Well, we tried to do it before, and the guy was no good.
Exactly. And who was in charge then? Exactly.
Okay. Where's he now?
The Prince of Pomposity didn't like it.
Oh, boy, they would get so mad when he would make changes.
Oh, they?
Yeah. Because he would...
If you want to change my copy and make it better, I have no problem with it, because I'm not the world's most gifted writer. I'm fully... Yeah. I mean, I'm not like Eric.
No, but he would get into
Eric
more...
Eric would get mad.
Yeah, he would get into this copy editor that we hired would come in with the Zuza pants. What do you call those?
Zebas.
He'd wear those zebra pants in. And he'd get in, and he wasn't just changing punctuation and grammar. He was like, are you sure that you think that this guy's better than this guy?
Basically, you're looking for a copy editor to come in and more or less proofread. He puts the headlines on, he puts the captions in the photos, and he makes sure that there are no typos in the stories.
Right.
And if he knows that there's something factually incorrect, change it to make it right.
And Fred, Coach is still up there, so there's no pizza yet.
Coach is still talking. Yeah. Wow. Does he look happy? Or
look, you can see him. He looks a little different.
I'm letting you get involved here,
He
Kevin.
Looks different without
the
hoodie.
Listen, if you want to be part of the AK-47 show, you got to paint a picture.
Right.
He looks different without the hoodie. That's all I'm saying. Is this superstition? Maybe trying to change it
He doesn't wear the hoodie all the time when he does press conferences.
I would say.
Either the hoodie or the other, like the coach's sweatshirt that's cut off. That's the Reebok jacket.
That's like a legit jacket.
That's the jacket they wore to San Diego.
I saw Doc wearing that. It must have been company issue. I didn't get one.
Doc didn't get one. He had to buy it.
Oh, did he?
So Doc likes to be in with the latest fashion here.
Yeah, I know. All right. Let's see. Travis from Tallahassee writes in, first off, classic Fred yesterday. I want more of Fred's rants. Those are great. I did kind of go off yesterday.
What, because they lost on you. You know what you sounded like yesterday?
What?
A Red Sox fan.
Oh,
yeah? Pre-2004.
Well, I take it personally.
Yeah, like they did it to you.
They did.
They had you in mind when they lost.
They made me look bad. I went to the mat for them last week. And they made me look bad, and I don't forgive them for that.
I don't suffer fools well.
Sunday with the Sox. Let's talk some football. Sunday was the first day I could show off my new Patriots jersey, which just so happened to be custom made to have my new favorite player, G-Force. So it was exciting to get laughed out of Buffalo Wild Wings. But he's still number one. He's actually people actually go to Buffalo Wild Wings for the games, huh? It's not just on the commercial.
Yeah. We went. Yeah. Remember, we went on a Saturday once, and it was packed.
That's true. That's
college
a good place.
Football
I
games.
Like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. That's PFW speed.
You know what? If anyone out there is listening and you're associated in any way with Buffalo Wild Wings, we would gladly accept you as a sponsor of this show.
I agree, especially so if they send wings.
If you can get that to corporate. We have a lot of influence among people who eat, Paul. You know?
Well, that's good. Let's solicit all of them.
A lot of fat people listen to the show.
I think that our reviews of restaurants are pretty accurate. I don't, you know.
Pete was on Phantom Gourmet, for Christ's sakes, Fred.
Well, Pete's not on this show.
No, I'm just saying, though, Patriots Radio in general has a big influence.
No, but I think
extra crispy.
From Pizza Hut, the Meat Lover's Pizza.
Yeah, I think we could give you an opinion of a restaurant, and you would be pretty confident to know that it's accurate. Right?
Yeah, I thought you were a little overly down on the place that we went to in Cleveland. I thought the wings that I had and the burger I had were excellent.
Well, you had different wings. When on the menu it says Buffalo Wings.
I don't think they did it right, because it said that they prepared them the way they gave them to us. They, you know, with a dry rub.
Yeah.
And then it says they're tossed in the sauce. And I don't think they put them in the sauce. I think you should have sent them back.
Okay.
Dry rub's no good.
But they were very tasty.
No,
Fred's right. I like them with the sauce. You know, kind of like, you know, Andy, I like breasts. I like buffalo wings with sauce.
Plus, my onion soup was not good.
Yeah, well, that's
hard to screw up.
Well, let's see. You go out to a restaurant and you get an onion soup.
French onion soup is a
traditional about breasts.
Is a traditional sports bar.
Sports bar fare.
Yeah.
French onion soup.
French onion soup is.
Kevin, can I get a ruling?
I disagree.
Sports bar. French onion soup.
At least in my generation, it's not typical fare.
Please.
It's not pub fare.
No.
Oh, come on.
No. That'd be like getting like a Cobb salad at the local pub.
French onion. Listeners, back me up here. French onion soup.
I'm not saying I don't like French onion soup, but I think you go into a place like that and you're expecting a good French onion soup. I don't think
you're expecting wings, burgers, pizza.
Hey, I go to Arthur's and it's got a.
That's a real restaurant. This is just a pub. It's just like, you know, pub/bar
menu. Sports, it's more like a sports lunch. Bar.
I'm going there.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Plus, in the urinal, in the bathrooms, there were no stalls. If you had to go in number two, you're out of luck.
You're only backing up Kevin and I's point.
Yeah.
This is the kind of restaurant that you were in. They didn't even have stalls in the bathroom.
Did they have the
Not
old
that
trough
I needed
ready?
To use one, but I just noticed that.
Did they have the troughs?
No, they didn't have the troughs.
Fenway?
But here's the thing.
I used to wash my hands in
they
those
had three oh. They had, listen, they had three urinals, and they had the, you know, the metal walls in between each one. They weren't even wide enough for you. You couldn't fit your shoulders between the wall.
Yeah, your shoulders were the thing that wouldn't fit in
you
between.
No,
that wasn't your fat ass.
You want to hear a good one, though? I was at a bar.
Wow, playing the role of Andy.
I was at a bar like 2 weekends ago, and I'm in a urinal, and I'm just sitting there minding my own business. And you know how sometimes they have the reading material on the wall in front of you?
Oh, yeah,
it was an
sports page?
It was an advertisement, and I don't remember what it was
PFW
for.
PFW in progress?
That's actually a really good idea. But anyway, so I didn't remember it was for, but it just said, success is in your hands.
There you go.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you coming down with a cold, Kevin?
I actually went to a concert last night, so I...
Oh, who'd you
struggling
see?
Struggling a little bit?
Dave Matthews Band over at the Garden.
Oh, God.
You bring your girlfriend?
No. I went, it was like gosh. It was with a bunch of dudes, Fred.
Oh, sword fight?
Sausage Fest?
Sausage Fest, yeah. We don't cross swords.
Sausage.
You don't like Dave, Paul?
No.
No. Well, he's okay, but he's old.
I don't really like anybody, though, so what are you going to do?
Well, me neither, but
fun. I'm not a big concert fan.
It was my birthday present to myself.
Paul doesn't like concerts. People stand up at them.
But I did get stuck going to a Dave Matthews concert not in Gillette Stadium, but the old Fox Sports.
Yeah, I saw
Stadium,
I saw Dave Matthews here with Santana. Did you go to that the one you
I
saw?
I don't know if that's the same one
was that
I was
at. Foxborough? Dave Matthews?
I don't think it was sad. I think it was like Beck? Or someone like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ben Folds 5, maybe? Both of them were there. I don't know.
I'd never seen a concert at the Garden before, though, so I just kind of wanted to see how the setup was.
Yeah, I had to go, and it was definitely a girlfriend thing, and it was not my wife. It was my girlfriend previous to me meeting my wife, and it was a miserable night. Mm. And then come to find out that she had planned a surprise birthday party for me the very next night.
Ooh.
And I came inches away from just refusing to go.
Yeah.
And I went, and I pouted the whole time, and... Not unbeknownst to me, she had a huge surprise party planned for me the next night.
Yeah. I got invited to go again tonight, but I don't think my voice can take it. I don't know.
Let's see. Travis goes on. He says, and finally, everyone, calm down. It's not the end of the world. We're young and inexperienced, and we really haven't had a really bad game yet, so I'm not really disappointed in the game. And being an FSU fan after the last 2 weeks with another wide right miss for the win,
that's tough. For
this past weekend, I was ready for anything on Sunday. You guys are always great and make every week that much better. P.S. Marcus Dupree is an absolute monster.
Yeah, that was on last night. I didn't see it.
I guess great reviews.
People. Yeah, and Strippers got a mention in it.
He got
it was mentioned in the credits.
Really?
Special thank you. Yeah, I guess he provided footage.
So it said VIP Strippers?
Yeah, I was going to say it.
Yeah, he gave his real name.
Oh, okay.
Strippers isn't his first name?
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Josh from Arlington is not backing me up. He says, onion soup, no dice.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Josh.
I politely disagree.
Doc,
so
you go to a sports bar, pub, if you will. Nothing fancy, no frills, you know, paper napkins, not cloth. You know, 89,000 different kinds of beer on tap. Are you expecting French onion soup to be a staple of that? No. Thanks. I don't think you might.
All right. I guess I lose that one. All right. Well, Doc's here with pizza, so that means it's the 12:44 break. We'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's Gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. Can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
This offense has completely turned the corner to me. Against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board, and I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance
January.
To beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't
See,
be
it's a
I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. Jason writes in, no one cares about the urinals in Cleveland. Really, two more minutes of this, and I'm closing down the live stream. Tick, tick, tick.
See ya.
Yeah, goodbye. I mean, we have to talk about everything on this show, you know?
We could get back to that really fascinating discussion on whether or not Bill Belichick decided to lose that game against Cleveland on purpose for the betterment of the team.
Derek from the University of Rhode Island, as opposed to Derek from the University of Arizona, says, first, the technical problem. In the days when there is a Bill Belichick head coach of the New England Patriots press conference, I have a problem finding a link to PFW in Progress. Today, I had to go to Audio Archive and get it that way. If there could be a link on the front page or something, that would be great. Well, Chris, if you're listening, I think it should be right up there. I don't know what's going on. There should be actually two links for two live events. So I don't know what's going on. Anyway, he says, second, I got into an argument with a friend recently about law firm's long-term standing. While I agree he's been relatively productive, I think he still requires less than standard plays, and he doesn't really run up the middle to make his own space. With Woodhead as our new non-traditional running back, maybe with Taylor returning, do you think law firm has a long future here? He does have a good nickname. And lastly, basically everything I know about football X and O's comes from watching games and listening to Paul and Andy. Sorry, Fred. So I was wondering, what is a safety's job? Sorry if that's a bit obvious, but I never played football in high school or anything, so I just have to pick it up on my own. And P.S. bring back the AK-47 show. So first he's talking about law firms' long-term, you know, prospects here.
Well, you know, I think I said yesterday, I don't think that he is a real viable number one back. But I do think that he is an NFL player. I think he's an NFL running back. He's a good complimentary guy. I think he's safe guy. He's no frills. He's not going to wow you with a lot of big play potential. But he generally will plow forward and get 3 or 4 yards. And he's proven to be pretty durable. He's held on to the football. I can't even recall a single fumble that he's had.
Right.
Knock on wood. And, hey, you know, I think that's a good, solid number two guy, you know, change of pace kind of guy. He's not a dynamic player by any means, but he's solid.
And I would say of all the guys that they have on the team right now, other than Woodhead because he just got here, of all the running backs, he probably has the best chance of being here next
year. Oh, he's the only one under contract.
Yeah.
Now, that may have changed. Woodhead may have signed a multi-year deal. But,
you know, Fred Taylor, who knows?
Taylor, Morris, and Falk were all in the last year of their contracts.
Right.
And Maroney before they traded him. So they entered the regular season with 5 running backs. 4 of them were going into their last year of their contract in Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. So I would say that he has a really, really good chance of being part of the future. I just don't think that future, to me, is him as the lead guy, the way he's been the last month.
Running back has to be a priority for the Patriots in the offseason.
I think it will be.
The other thing he asked about was safety, and since I don't know anything about football,
well, safety is it implies. It's the last line of defense. Bill Belichick says it all the time. Your safety has to be a good tackler. He needs to be the deepest guy. Pass coverage, they have a lot of responsibilities because they play the run and the pass more so than cornerbacks would, as an example. So it's basically what the name implies. It's a safety net for the defense. It's the last line of defense, without getting into any specifics
and I do think that the role of the safety in the NFL has increased over the years because it's become more of a passing, you know, league. So, you know, you want to get a guy who can do both, you know, play the run and the pass. You don't have to take him off the field. It's hard to do. A guy that can always, you know, be on there for all 3 downs. But, you know, Patrick, that's why
safeties are generally on the field all 3 downs.
I was a little worried about, you know, Patrick Chung being out last game because he's so good on first and second down for the Patriots. You know, he's not just good against the pass. He's good in run support. I think he's the second or third leading tackler on the team going into last week. You know, and a lot of that was, you know, not, you know, saving the touchdown, but at near the line of scrimmage, you know.
No, he's a good tackler.
Yeah.
He's a very sure tackler. Much better, I think, than Merriweather in that regard. Sanders, I think, is a pretty sure tackler, too. I know he got hurdled by Peyton Hillis on that play, but I think, in general, James Sanders is a pretty reliable tackler, but Chung is outstanding. He's the best that the Patriots have in that at that position, in my opinion, in terms of pure form tackling. And you're right, he has had a lot of plays at or around the line of scrimmage against the run.
Gentlemen, says Matt. Let's see, where's Matt from? Does he say? Nope. He doesn't. Brady is no longer a leader or among the best QBs in the game. Wow, that's quite an opening statement. When was the last time he took the field when we were in trouble and lived up to the announcer's praise? He gave up against the Ravens in the playoffs, and he gave up on Sunday. It made me sick to see him sitting on the sideline with that hangdog expression. Will there be a Brady face website? A few games ago, he threw a TD, and before the extra point, took his helmet off on the field and smoothed his hair back. I take Colt McCoy at this point.
Oh,
please,
God,
prove me wrong, number 12. Wow, that's really hard.
All right. When was the last time? What was the first part of that? When was the last time he took the field and
when was the last time he took the field when we were in trouble and lived up to the announcer's praise?
Okay, what, 3 games ago? Baltimore?
Yeah.
Down 10 in the fourth quarter? That's trouble. Don't you think?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing. You know, as much as we've been critical of the offense, and I think that the emailer is not completely wrong. I think a big part of the offensive struggles, Fred, I'm going to be frank about it, have been Brady.
Sure.
And I know that we were talking about him as being an MVP guy. Eric was, I thought, ridiculously the other way. But I thought you and Andy with the MVP stuff, I think we needed to pump the brakes a little bit too. Because I don't think he's been that good this year. He's been fine. He hasn't been Brady. And the fact that they won the games, I think, has allowed people like Peter King from afar to say, geez, Brady's doing it again. But he's not.
Well,
they won games because the defense made miraculous strides.
At least up to last week, to me, the MVP is Mayo. That's
well,
who
not
I
for
pick.
Me, but that's,
who would
fine.
Yours be?
Of the team?
Yeah.
Or
no, of the team.
Mayo. Tough question. No way.
No way.
Well, of the defense, I would probably say Wilford. Oh.
You just won't give in on that, will you,
Fred? Just all I'm asking you for.
Yeah.
Is impact? Just give me a list of impact plays.
He's been the steady force on that defense. He's been the glue that keeps them together. You know,
if you say so. I don't know. I don't know that to be true. But anyway, the Brady stuff. I do think the emailer has a point because I don't think he has been great, and I think a lot of people are sort of thinking, well, he's not part of the problem. I think he has been part of the problem.
Sure, he has.
I think he's been erratic.
Yep.
Look,
when you have young receivers or guys that have just come on the team like Branch, or you need to be accurate.
Well,
you can't expect them to, make the great catch every time. You need to help them out.
Right. And when you look at this kind of stuff, he mentioned, the way the announcers, say he will. The last time he's come out there and done with the announcers. I can understand what he's talking about here. How doesn't it make you upset if you watch Brett Favre now and – like against Arizona the other night, I watched a lot of the highlights on Monday, and I'm listening. Well, and this is just some more of that Brett Favre magic. And, you give this guy a chance at the end of the game. Well, you know what? The other team gave Brett Favre a chance at the end of the game about five times this year, and he finally made them pay by winning one of them. So at what point do you say, I'll take my chances with Brett Favre at the end of the game?
Right.
I think I'll beat him more often than not. And I understand what the caller's saying. I mean, the emailer's saying Brady hasn't really done that a lot lately, and he hasn't. They haven't rallied from behind very often lately. Last year, they struggled doing it. They had the big one on opening night, on the Monday night against Buffalo. But then they had a lot of other opportunities during the course of the year and didn't really do it. And this year, they've been out in front, right?
Right.
I mean, they've basically been wire-to-wire winners in a lot of their games, with the exception of the Baltimore game. When he did it, he couldn't rally him from behind against the Jets, and he couldn't rally him from behind against Cleveland. Now, again, I'm not putting it all on. I'm not going as far as the emailer, because Brady is part of the problem. He's not the problem. And what I think is totally ridiculous is the whole focus, hair, body language,
yeah.
Giselle nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just complete and utter nonsense.
What's
funny? We actually got an email backing Brady by saying, like, these people that are blaming it on Giselle as being a part of the problem, it's ridiculous. Giselle's not – it's not like Giselle's like Jessica Simpson.
Right.
So in one breath you're saying it's ridiculous that you would blame the woman on the guy's pitfalls. But in Jessica Simpson's case, that's true. It did. She did blame it on Tony Romo's. It has nothing to do with the fact that Tony Romo's not that good.
Matt goes on to say, second, it's frustrating to see our young defensive players dancing and celebrating – when they make a good play with a 10-point deficit on the board. I agree with that, but that's a league thing. That's these guys.
It drives me insane. Yeah. See, I don't know if it's as much a league thing. Players celebrate routine plays. That's a league thing.
Yeah.
The Patriots seem to celebrate plays that are successful for the offense. And I don't think that's a league thing. Well, Brandon Merriweather gets up every time he tackles a guy, regardless of the outcome of the play,
right,
and celebrates.
That's wrong. I don't like it.
Like he had a great hit against San Diego that everybody applauded him for, because coming off the Baltimore hit,
right?
He made a sound,
it was
a sound,
it was
physical tackle,
downfield, right?
First down.
Right.
Patrick Creighton, he you know what? He labeled him.
Yeah.
Hit him with a good solid shot.
Right.
But the guy caught the ball and got a first down.
Right. Toward the end of the fourth quarter, the camera clearly caught a healthy Browns number 54 looking over to the sideline and then laid down to take an injury timeout, really milking it with the trainers. No comment from the announcer. Maybe he did, but I don't think it had any factor in the game. Do you remember that?
It's a good thing he did. Otherwise, we might have lost by 27 instead of 20.
There's no such thing as a good loss, but there's worse losses. 3-0 against the Ravens, Bolts, and Vikings bought us this one, and I have to imagine a little dose of reality must be good for such a young team. Steelers will be a tough game, but we can definitely win if we're firing on all cylinders. So, I agree with that, but, you know, it's going to be tough.
Paul, I get just a quick general question on philosophy heading into the Steelers game. You know how sometimes, especially coming out of halftime this year when the team's struggling to move the ball, post Randy Moss?
No huddle?
It's like a no huddle, but it's like it's a controlled no huddle. Mm-hmm. They come up, they make the play call at the line.
Right.
Maybe they snap the ball. They're like 15 seconds left on the play clock, but it doesn't allow the defense to substitute. And once they get that first down, they seem to roll a little bit better. There seems to be better rhythm and flow. Do you think that that's something that could possibly work against Pittsburgh, especially given the injury problems and the confusion that it may cause for them on defense?
Yeah, I do. I think the no huddle has worked well for this offense. Now, the problem with it is I don't think you can use it all the time.
No.
I think Deion Branch, I think it was in San Diego, because if you remember, the offense really was terrible in the first half of that game. Late in the half, they used it a little bit. I think they kicked a field goal. And then to open the second half, they had one of the best drives they've had all year. It's like a 17-play touchdown drive. All no huddle, all hurry up.
The Ravens game, too, they came out in the second half.
But Deion Branch talked about it and said the problem with it is it gasses us, too.
Yeah.
It's not just keeping the defense from substituting and getting tired, but it's tough on us, too. So it puts a lot of pressure to score. Because if you don't score and you're getting yourself worn out, like, for example, the last drive of the first half that Gronkowski fumbles on. That's not a reason you don't use the no huddle.
No.
Obviously, that was a good drive. But that's the fear. I think you have to pick your spots with it. I don't think you can go 60 minutes with that kind of an attack, because other teams, like Manning, uses the no huddle, but it's not a hurry up.
No.
He snaps the ball with less than 5 seconds on the play clock almost every play.
They get up and then they do all their readjustments.
And they're doing and they try to force you to not substitute.
Yeah.
And if you do substitute, he'll snap it and get a penalty.
Yeah.
That's not the Patriots are doing hurry up.
Yeah.
They're like you said, they're snapping before the defense.
It's like a controlled
makes adjustments.
But
so that's a little bit more taxing physically.
To me, the only time I've seen them even come close to resembling the offense that we all knew in years past, and the offense, you know, that we had with Randy on the team, is when they run this sort of like no huddle. That's the only time I see guys running free down the field. I see the draw play work. I mean,
that's got to be corrected, because you can't do that all the time.
I mean, you come out and you go 3-and-out. I don't know how many times, but they went 3-and-out against Cleveland quite a bit.
Yeah, well, the first three drives, it was 2 3-and-outs, and the other one they got 1 first down and then punted. So the first quarter was a lot. I mean, 3 punts for Mesko. That's happened a lot. They've really struggled at the start of games a lot. Maybe they open a game in that hurry-up to try to change the pace a little bit from the start. You know, maybe they win a toss and take the ball to get the offense right on the field and in the flow. I don't know.
We saw that as early as St. Louis in the preseason, where
they were really struggling in that game too.
And they didn't.
That's why I don't think this is all about Moss.
Right.
I think you're making a really good point.
Right.
I know the numbers say it's all about Moss.
I'm not willing to submit that.
But I don't have anything concrete.
Right. You can never prove it.
Now, I have a question before you move on. The emailer said, and you said the same thing, that, you know, the Patriots are firing on all cylinders. They think they can beat Pittsburgh. What if Pittsburgh's firing on all cylinders?
Yeah.
Who wins?
Mm-hmm. I think Pittsburgh wins.
I think Pittsburgh wins. Now, if it was here, I might say the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because I think they're very evenly matched teams. I'm not overly impressed with Pittsburgh, I'll be honest with you. I picked Pittsburgh to win the game. I think they will win it. But I haven't been overly impressed with their offense. And I think defensively, as good as they are, and I do respect the hell out of Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
I think you can throw on them. Now, the problem is the Patriots haven't been consistent enough. I don't know if they can walk into there and do what they've done in the past.
And that leads to my vision of how they could possibly stay in the game if not beat the Steelers would be that not no huddle, but that sort of hurry-up offense and just fling it. I don't think they have any real chance to run the ball on them, and I think they need to do a lot more of the wide receiver screens, get Hernandez involved, almost, you know, the extended handoff plays. I think that's the only way they have a chance to score against them.
Well, they're going to have to spread them out, you know, just like Baltimore. They're going to have to spread these guys out. Because I agree, you're not going to line up on first down and just run the ball.
Nope.
It's just not going to happen.
And it's funny, Fred, we had on John's show in Playbook, we had
Now watch, they will.
We had Ed Bouchette.
No, they won't.
Who covers the Pittsburgh team, and we kind of asked him, you know, just kind of like what's missing from that team, if anything, this year. John had asked him the question, and he was complaining about their running game. But when I looked up their stats, it's funny how perspective is everything, because they're 13th in the league in running the football. They average well over 100 yards a game, and they're averaging about 4 yards a carry. To me, that's pretty decent. It's respectable.
Yeah.
But that was his, you know, big nitpick was, I don't think they can run the ball.
You know, they're used to, in Pittsburgh, being running the ball well is different than here.
No, I definitely know. That's why I'm saying perspective
is
everything.
Well, I would say that the Patriots' stats might not be all that different from those.
They're not.
But it's looked different from the way that you guys just talked about.
Right.
Almost all of the Patriots, aside from that fourth quarter drive, when Benny got 71 yards in the fourth quarter against Minnesota, almost all of their yards have come out of trick plays.
Yep.
And I don't mean deception trick plays.
No.
I mean
passing
down. It's a passing down.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have passing personnel on the field. I'm running an end around to Aaron Hernandez, or I'm running Brandon Tate on a reverse.
Or it's a delay.
Or I'm doing a delay to Danny Woodhead.
Right.
And that's where all the yards are coming from.
That's the point I was trying to make. And I got whacked during Rook's show by all these emails and everything. And I was like, when they need to run the ball,
they can't.
Whether it's on the goal line, first and goal from the one, you know, like we've discussed from training camp, they haven't been able to execute that situation. And whether it's, you know, when it's winning time in the fourth quarter, like they can't run the ball. The only time they can run it effectively is when the other team expects them to throw.
Now, they've done a decent job in the red zone running the ball. I think this is the first game that Benny didn't have a touchdown.
He got stonewalled.
He didn't have a good game this week, line didn't give him any room to run. I think he had touchdowns in like four or five straight games before that. And let's face it, he's not getting a lot of, you know, 40-yard touchdown runs. His touchdown runs are coming from the red zone.
Yeah.
So they have done a pretty good job, I think, of running the ball in the red zone. And that's hard. That's hard to do. That's to be commended. But I don't think, in general, Fred's point about first down, you know, two tight ends with maybe two backs, here we come.
Yeah.
They've stopped you when you've done that.
Yeah.
And then they get into that you know, second and 10, second and 12, second and 11, and you and I have.
But what I really hate is the incomplete pass on first down, second and 10.
Run.
Here comes a run.
And that's exactly
and if it's not successful, you better get the punter
ready. I know you and I are on the same page, and we've talked about it. Like, we hate that. Like, second and 10 doesn't seem like it should be an automatic running down.
Every team in the league.
In the NFL, that's how they
in
do
the
it.
In the NFL, second and 10 is a running down. I don't get it.
Yeah. Zach in Marlboro, every so often, even good teams come in and drop an egg. If we can beat Pittsburgh, another quality 6-2 team, that is good. Top to bottom, then I'd say that more than makes up for the loss of the Browns. I will gladly trade those games. I will gladly take a loss against the Browns for a win against the Steelers any day. I hope it happens. Let's see.
It's just going to piss me off more.
Why?
They should be 7-1.
Oh, yeah, that's true. James writes in, and this is James from Brisbane. He says, as bad as we played on the weekend, please do not let it sink into another power rankings argument. I think we can all agree we crapped the bed against Cleveland in a game we should have won. But look at the motivation levels of each team. The Patriots were treating it as, at best, like any other game, probably like a warm-up to Pittsburgh and Indy for the next two games, while the Browns had about 12 different revenge factors present for them. The way I see it, we're still 6-2, which is ahead of expectation. We'll lose two, maybe three more games for the rest of the season and hopefully be in good shape going into the playoffs. Looking at Pittsburgh next week, I think more than stopping Mendenhall, the key for the defense is to not let little Ben or the rest of his body escape from sacks. I saw a fair chunk of the Monday night game trying to avoid exam study, and I could not believe how easily he was able to make throws with a defender hanging off his left arm. Tell the pass rush to make a swipe at the ball because he'll have it hanging out there, and the coverage to stay disciplined because the plays will get extended. If there's a chance, try to level Ben by drilling a shoulder into the bottom of his ribs. That should knock the wind right out. Our offense, it's simple. Find Troy Polamalu and go the other way. Okay? I hope it is that simple.
I agree with the mentality that it's not the end of the world, the loss. I just think that people are making too light of it, taking it too lightly. I agree. I mean, isn't it fair to say that the Cleveland Browns coaches thought it was a big game and that they put a lot into the game?
No doubt.
Why would you think Bill Belichick wouldn't look at this as a big game? For two reasons.
That's why I didn't.
For two reasons.
Right.
For the Mangini factor, If it was a big game for Mangini to go against Belichick, why would you think it wouldn't be a big game for Belichick to go against Mangini?
You know it was.
Okay, and number two, you know what he thinks of Cleveland and his experiences there.
That's why
I think people are making too light of it.
Right, that's why I wasn't willing to fall into the, you know, oh, it's a trap game. Yeah, it was a trap game, but I didn't think the Patriots would fall into it. Those are just two of the reasons. It was just a bad game, and you're right. This was a game they should have been up for, and they weren't, and that's concerning.
Yeah, and I'll say this. It was a tough spot. In the NFL, sometimes it's about the spot, you know, like where you play teams and how those teams are playing when you play them. You know, if the Patriots had played Cleveland in week two or three, they probably would have steamrolled them because Cleveland was just killing themselves with mistakes early in the season. They played a good game on Sunday. And the fact that the Patriots did have, this is the part I do agree with the emailers about, yeah, they had Pittsburgh and Indy coming up. They had just come off of really spirited wins against San Diego and Minnesota. So they had tough game, you know, a little bit of a down game, tough game. Yeah, I mean, the spot was tough there for them, and they fell into it.
Yep. Nathan writes in, hey, Jake Steele, Big Head, Miller Heavy, and Gaylord Focker. Do you think that losing this game to the Browns may be a blessing in disguise because Belichick is notorious for winning the next game after a loss? Or do you think that the team loses confidence, steam, and momentum, and after the first James Harrison hit, they lose their drive and rhythm, leading to a downward spiral? Browns lost motivation, or are we the 2009 Denver Broncos and our record will start to even out toward the end of the season?
I really honestly think it could go either way.
Yeah, it could.
I think this is a young team that if they get hit in the mouth and lose another one, might start questioning itself. Right now, I think they're probably okay in that regard. But, you know, you lose another one, and then maybe another one, and you're 6-4. And then you start wondering if you were really that good to begin with.
Simon from Swindon, UK. Still reeling from Sunday, but trying desperately to think of positives going into the Steelers game and haven't come up with many. Particularly disappointed in Brady-Tate relationship, or partnership, I should say. I was really hoping this would start to flourish. Sure, he has had his 100-yard game versus the Vikes, but the bulk of those were on a broken play and a pass that should have been intercepted. What are your thoughts on Price being activated? With Branch Gimpy in the Tate partnership a slow-developing one, can't we get Price on the field and at least kick the tires? Also, what is the verdict on Welker's lack of productivity versus previous seasons? Is it his injury, or are defenses doubling up on him, or a bit of both? Wide receiver depth appears to have gone from being a strength in 07 to a real weakness in 2010. Well, they got to work on it. I mean, I think it's all of the above. I think Welker's injury, I think teams are keying on him, I think Branch's injury, hasn't had time to, you know, get back in sync with Brady, despite that first game that he was here. It's all the above. And, you know, Tate, you know, I'm not sure. I don't have, like, you know, film on every one of his pass routes, but it doesn't seem like he's getting open consistently. And, you know.
And he's also dropping passes.
Yeah.
Look, their wide receiver depth was pretty bad last year. It's better now than it was last year, but they're not consistent.
Well,
I don't think Taylor Price is the answer, by the way.
Well, the drum's going to start beating more and more for him if this keeps up.
Yeah.
Because every game on the blog,
because it's always
Taylor Price.
It's always the guy that you haven't seen yet is better than the guy that you have seen.
Mike in Pensacola, hey, men of PFW and Eric. My question has to do with Patrick Chung. Can you update us on his status, and do you believe he will be in the starting lineup against the Steelers? I do. I think his presence was sorely missed on Sunday, especially in run defense. Also, if you had a choice between Jabbar Gaffney or Brandon Tate being on the team right now, who would you pick?
Jabbar Gaffney.
What about returns?
I'll take Jabbar Gaffney. Put someone else in returns.
I'm asking this question because I have not been pleased
with
Tate.
And I was not a huge Jabbar Gaffney fan, as you know.
Yeah. I'm asking this question because I have not been pleased with Tate as a receiver and see him solely as a specialist in the return game. On the field, he is playing similar to what Sam Aiken did last year, occasionally making a big play, but generally unreliable as a consistent option.
I just think that Gaffney was a guy that consistently found ways to make some contributions to the offense. and Tate hasn't done that yet. Tate's a big play guy, potential big play guy, and Gaffney wasn't. But I think Gaffney could get your stuff out of the slot. He could go outside and do some things for you. I don't think he was great.
No.
But I think he could help you.
Rich from Howell, New Jersey says, I went to a sports bar on Sunday to watch the game. Ugh. Anyway, I ordered French onion soup, extra crispy, but it was only okay.
I like that.
Tracy
extra
says,
crispy.
Sorry, Fred, but I have never had or seen anyone order soup at a bar, and I've spent a lot of time in bars. Did you get the crudité, too?
Thank you very much.
So now they're making fun of me.
My boys are rallying to my defense.
Yep, I guess so. Ken Walter writes, Fred's kind of right. Like chowder, French onion soup isn't a bar food staple, but it differentiates the bars you want to hang out in all day versus a bar where you plan to stay for only one game. P.S. If Mesko gets hurt because he's not expecting a ball to be snapped directly at him, I'm available.
That's kind of funny, too.
Would you say chowders are a bar staple, Paul? Clam chowder?
Sports bar?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I don't think of that kind of food when you go out. You have an
in the appetizer list.
Yeah, you're having wings. You're having nachos.
Nacho,
you're having
right.
jalapeno peppers. I'm not saying it's not on the menu, Fred.
In New England.
I'm not saying it's not on the menu. Don't. I'm talking about what you see people order and what your group would get.
I love clam chowder.
I would see nachos. I would see potato skins, maybe. Wings, obviously. Jalapeno poppers.
Ball.
I mean, that's appetizers at a sports bar. Maybe sliders. Onion rings.
Onion rings, yeah. Mozzarella sticks.
Not chowder in French onion soup.
Steven,
why don't you put on your little blazer and go and see what Tag is doing?
Steven Albany. How concerning is next time we're at a bar, I'm going to order chowder.
I'm sure you will, because you're odd.
Stephen Albany says, how concerning is the difference between the strengths of Steeler opponents and Patriots opponents? Steelers opponents are 37-28. Patriots opponents are 28-37. How much weight does this carry going into the weekend?
Nothing to me.
I was also curious to find out what you think about the Steelers giving up more points in the fourth quarter than at any other point in the game, according to Monday Night Football stats, and the Patriots consistently coming back from behind this season.
That's incorrect.
If the Pats can keep the Steelers from running away with the scoring, do you think they could dominate the final quarter?
They've come from behind in one game, right?
Well, technically they've been not the team to score first.
I'm talking about fourth quarter behind. They did it once against Baltimore. Right?
Yeah.
The other games, they've allowed the other team to creep back into the game in the fourth quarter. Right? San Diego did it.
Sure.
Minnesota did it. Buffalo did it. I mean, they've allowed teams to come from behind in the fourth quarter. Now, they've held on to win the games, but I don't agree with that that element. But I also don't put a ton of stock into the records right now because I think the Patriots, the record of their opponents might not be overly impressive.
Right.
But I think the teams are pretty good teams. San Diego, losing record.
Right.
Minnesota,
that's why you have to wait
till
the
record.
End of the season.
I'm telling you right now, I don't have to wait to the end.
But
season.
It'll
I'm
be
telling
proven
you
out.
Teams.
It'll be proven out that San Diego.
See, but
Diego's
I don't care if they go 5-11. It's a good team. It's a good talented team.
If they go 5-11, they're not that good.
But things could happen that they could spiral their season out of control. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, 5-11 team is a 5-11 team. They made too many mistakes in too many games to be considered a good team. Paul writes in, I was hoping to see the Patriots feature their tight end.
It must be nice not to ever use your eyes to make any determination and just let the numbers.
You can
but it's funny how the offense isn't
not
bad.
Just
you
about
You can't say
talent.
The offense is bad because of the numbers.
It's
but
not just about talent, Paul.
Right. That's why I don't think the offense is very good. You
plays.
Do.
Well, you said it would be fine.
No, I said I thought it would be fine, and I was wrong.
So now you don't think there's any hope for them?
Hope?
Yeah.
Hope for what?
For the offense.
To be what?
To get better.
No.
You don't.
I don't know what better is. What does that mean?
Oh, now I have to better than they are now.
Better than they are now is, again, like, what are you saying they are now? I want you on record as to say what you
saying
think.
They are now?
What are you saying the offense is right now?
Very, very inconsistent.
Okay, I think it's just been flat out bad. I don't think it's been inconsistent. I think it's been awful. Okay. So do I think they'll be better than awful?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's
I don't think they'll be good enough.
Let's hope. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
No, it wasn't. You're not interrupting an argument, actually.
Eric can't even talk because his mic isn't on and Kevin is not even in the booth.
Where the hell is he?
So maybe he can move over to another mic. Maybe that one's
on.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll just wait for you. Where did Kevin go? Do we know?
No idea.
All right.
You know what? I'm going to go in there and turn the mic off.
Do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you do that, and I'll read this email from Paul. I was hoping to see the Patriots feature their tight ends more this year, especially after they got rid of Moss. Brady seems to go to Aaron Hernandez, but either Gronkowski isn't getting open or Brady isn't looking for him until he gets into the red zone. I don't understand why they don't throw to Algie Crumpler. I would like to see the Patriots design plays that get the tight ends open in the passing game. The alternative is to feature Welker, who isn't at 100% and is having trouble getting off the line, or Branch, who is injured, or Brandon Tate, who still needs to be developed, or the running game, which we don't have. I think the best shot is to feature the tight ends in the offense more.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. How you
Good.
Doing, Eric?
Good.
What's going on?
Okay.
You just came from practice?
Just came from practice. I'm going to start off with what's probably, at the end of the day, not going to be major news, but at the moment it is. Tom Brady was not there.
Ooh. Getting a haircut, perhaps.
That would be major news, because it's been a year and a half since that's happened. So a little curious, because he had his usual Wednesday Q&A with the media. So he's around. He's here.
Do you think he might show up later in practice?
Possible. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it
or
might not be.
Or not injury-related?
Yeah, it could be. Either of those two, I think, is certainly plausible.
It's tough to hold a practice, though, without him there, don't you think?
Well, the backup, Brian Hoyer, gets the bulk of the reps, and you go from there.
Oh, you know what I think is happening? You know what I think is coming?
What?
Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You think anybody would have saw that coming in Cleveland before it happened?
There's no way.
Really?
What, Bernie's getting cut?
Yeah. No, I didn't say cut. They're making a change.
Oh. God.
You're out of your mind. He's just kidding.
Okay. On a positive note, though, I'll go through the other absentees. James Sanders. Good thing Andy's not here today because he'd.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah. Jared Page continues to be MIA. Myron Pryor.
He tweets a lot, Jared Page.
Myron Pryor.
Yeah.
All right.
He had a prior commitment.
But so those four out. Fred Taylor, finally.
Back. Good.
They're outside, even though it's not raining anymore, but it was raining this morning, so the field is kind of soggy out there on the training camp fields.
It's always good for a guy coming back from a toe injury.
Well, yeah, but Sunday night, I looked at the long-range forecast, Fred. Sunday, Pittsburgh, 50s and rain. At this point, at least, that could change, but so they're probably at least starting to simulate the conditions of soggy
grass.
Bill always said, you know, like early in the year when it rains, they practice indoors because he's assuming they're going to get decent weather for game day.
Right.
Late in the year,
right,
he's assuming it's going to be cold and windy, so he wants to be out in the elements.
Yep. Right.
Smart guy, that Bill Belichick.
There was a new player. There were a couple, I mean, in addition to the kicker and long snapper, there's a new cornerback on the practice squad. Thad Turner, wearing number 43.
Sure.
Do we know about this? Did you guys?
No.
Well, I knew he was signed, but I don't know who he is.
Okay. He is 5'11", 188, rookie from Ohio. So same school as Taylor Price.
All right. Did you see any of the snapping, kicking, and holding going?
Yes. The kicker, who's looks like he's got a little bit of a paunch to him.
Sebastian Janikowski.
A little bit. Not quite as tall, but. He went out on the left-hand field there by himself and was working on his steps and his approach just with nobody else around. Katula and Mesko were in the sideline in between the two fields working on the emergency snap where Mesko has to spike the ball.
Yeah.
So they weren't actually working on the long, long snaps. They were working on this, you know, emergency late in the game situation type of thing.
Okay.
So that was pretty much it. And then time was up. So
your time is up.
And were you in the locker room?
Yes, sir.
And who'd you talk to?
We had Fred Taylor. It was a very active, very productive day for PFW today, actually, in the locker room. Paul got a good Paul story out of Fred Taylor's return and his talk. Fred Taylor's great, Fred. I mean, he really is. He's one of the best to talk to in that locker room.
Good guy.
Yep. Yeah, maybe of all time in that locker room. He's one of the
best.
He's
an ambassador.
So we talked to him. We talked to the kicker, the new kicker, the new long snapper. And I got some feature material. Great, great feature that writes itself on Kyle Arrington. Coming
maybe you
up,
won't screw it up then.
In an upcoming issue.
Breaking news. Chad Pennington will start for the Dolphins this week over Chad Henne.
Wow. Is that just anything to do with injury? Or
performance related.
Really? Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. Teams are making some big moves this year, like, you know, in season.
Yeah.
Getting rid of guys, quarterback changes, coaching change.
But, Fred, what do you think about this? I mean, this is the 10th week. We're going into week 10, and we have our 10th major Patriots-related news story of the year. Every week has been something momentous to write about, talk about.
It's amazing.
What's big this year, week?
The kicker the going kickers. On IR.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't think that's a big thing?
That's a manageable situation, as we talked about.
You lose 10 yards on kickoff.
Trading Lawrence Maroney was a manageable situation. Trading Randy Moss was
right,
a manageable
situation.
But they're major
trading,
news.
Trading Maroney wasn't huge.
They're all
but
huge
it's major
stories.
News stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's an out-of-the-ordinary weekly story.
Sure.
And the Patriots have – Eric is exactly right. The Patriots have had one pretty much every single week.
Usually you're lucky if you get two or three a season that are major attention-grabbing. I mean, every week.
It's nice of the Prince of Darkness to show up.
He's not talking about me
they
either.
They call me the bloody Prince of Darkness.
That's good. Matty No Sock Smith here. Yeah,
no
grab
heart
a
today.
Mic if
grab
you want.
Yeah, sit down. Stay a while.
If you want. Hey, ladies, says James right. Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world. Will the winner of the Pats-Steelers game be the best team in football?
It's hard to make a case against that.
Don't underestimate me. I mean, it is quite possible.
I'll tell you right now.
But
the Giants are playing
really well.
There's
a lot really of 6-2
well.
Teams.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And right now, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a team playing better than the Giants.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're the best team in football, but they're playing very well.
Yep.
You know, Green Bay seems to have gotten it a little bit together here, kind of dealing with those injuries. They put them behind them. They put two really good games together, beating the Jets, and obviously everybody's beating
yeah,
Dallas.
There's no – I mean, I think fans are looking for that one team or a couple teams that, you know, used to be considered elite. Nobody is that
no,
this year.
There's a lot of parity at the top.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week thing.
You know, like just for argument's sake, let's say that, you know, Baltimore – who's Baltimore got this week?
Atlanta on the road.
No, that's right, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, that's right. You know, Baltimore goes out to Atlanta and beats a 6-2 team, and they go to 7-2, and they do it impressively. You know, I mean, they have a stake in it. The Jets have sort of been floundering a little bit the last couple of weeks, but I think that's a kind of a springboard game for them with Sanchez.
Yeah.
You know, winning the way they won and having him throw for 330 some odd yards. They might be. I think it's just one of those years. There's not a great team out there. It's whoever happens to be playing well that week.
Which. For just pure NFL fans, not specific to any one team, is great because you really don't know who's going to win. There's no clear-cut favorite. The playoffs are going to be as exciting, you would hope.
Well, I just hope that they're well-played.
As there's ever been. That's
you know, cause
right. That's
this
the caveat.
Been, I don't
it
think
has to
it's
be
been
well-played.
Very good. You know, like we go back to San Diego, you know, and No Sox was with you and I, Eric, even though he only talked to me during the game. There was nothing impressive about the game.
No,
it was just
bad
so
football.
Poorly played.
Some bad football.
I would hate to see playoff games played in that fashion. And I think that's two of the playoff teams
right
there.
And my hope
and
is
a very
that
good chance that those two teams are in the playoffs.
My hope is that with eight games left, there's a whole half season left, a lot of these good teams will start to play better
separate,
as well.
Separate
Sunday. A little bit, and we'll see some quality football as we get closer.
What
that's
do you
my
got,
hope.
No
I'm not. You got to turn your mic on.
I was wondering, I was waiting for Kevin to hit the playoff sound cut because, I mean, 8 weeks in, we're talking playoffs already?
Well, just in general.
Not necessarily
for individual
teams
but
as much as, you know, they are going to happen.
Right.
Playoffs!
As much as I, you know, I pine
playoffs?
For a January without football to cover, it's not going to happen. Playoffs are going to take place.
And I think this is the natural time to start doing it because
midway point,
right? You've reached the summit. Now we're in the downward, slope of the season. It's
Now things speed up.
Exactly. Things start to speed up.
Sure.
Paul, you asked me what I got, and maybe you've
Are you not
already.
Talking into the mic?
No, I'm sorry. Asked me what I got. Here's my question. Are you surprised on the week-by-week basis, all of you guys surprised, the roller coaster ride that not only – I mean, I think it's natural human nature for the fans to feel that way, but that the people who allegedly cover the team and are alleged experts, how – 6-1, top of the power rankings.
Oh,
ESPN
yeah.
has them with the 14-2 or 13-3 schedule, and literally 7 days later, who knows? This has got the feelings of 6-10. It's just the lack of perspective.
They're also afraid. They all want to make sure the last thing they said is the right thing.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Who said that 6-10?
I'm not saying that's a little bit of hyperbole.
Oh.
But
well, Andy.
No, I like to attack those people.
Okay. The number most associated with Andy Hart was 6-10.
Yeah, but I like to attack someone who says after, when they were 6-1, they lost a game.
Right.
This has 6-10 written all over it.
Right, but their lack of perspective is staggering, isn't it?
The roller coaster ride is something that we all kind of predicted.
It's like the first year covering the league.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
But
and
people
don't
you think allegedly respect Fred. That you look at and go, wow, you know.
Well, I don't respect any of them.
Okay, but okay.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And you wonder, yeah. Wow, I mean, are they just saying it so that they can be heard?
Yeah, and I think
well,
that's
a lot of that.
There is so much noise out there.
Right.
That it is this you know, competition to be heard, and, you know, you know, you can get the same thing in any sports bar. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I understand. Listen, the prediction.
By the way, if you go to a sports bar, do you expect to see French onion soup on the menu?
It's got to be a staple.
Thank you. Finally.
From a guy who walks
Thank
around
you.
And doesn't wear socks, please.
What does that have to do with
first of all,
he's
first of
a little
all,
bit higher,
no, no,
you know,
any
higher intellectually
any,
and, you know,
any
certainly society-wise.
Sports bar, pub. If you look in the appetizer and soups, you're going to see chili.
Didn't
you're
see.
You're going to see
wait,
French
wait,
onion
stop,
soup.
Stop.
You're going to see clam chowder, and then you're going to get soup of the day.
I did
right.
not say that it wouldn't be on the menu.
Right.
I said it absolutely will be on the menu. I'm saying that when you go out to a sports bar, and you're ordering appetizers, you're not getting soup. Unless you're Fred Kirsch.
I like French
And you have your little
soup.
Button-down blazer. You have your little gold button.
Was it cold?
Blue blazer.
It was sweet. It wasn't good at all.
No, but
I think
what,
you
no,
get,
was it cold? Were you in a soup mood? Like, you know,
yes,
like,
it was
today's
cold.
A good
it was
soup.
Chilly.
I think
today's
you get
soup.
What you deserve yeah. when you go to a sort of a just kind of run-of-the-mill, lower-end sports pub and order soup. If it's not good, you deserve that. That's my opinion.
Oh, I don't know.
Because
if you put
I don't
it
think,
on your menu, you should
I don't
be
think
good.
They should be, well, so anywhere you go, anything on the menu should
right.
be good.
And I have a right to
theory.
Complain if it's not good.
I didn't say you have a right, don't have a right to complain. I'm saying you get what you deserve.
Wow. I didn't know that, you know, I was committing a crime
maybe,
by ordering
maybe,
French onion soup.
Maybe next week, maybe next week you'll get lobster.
You know, whatever, you know? Got what you deserve.
I don't know.
By the way, Vikings went all purple. This
if
week?
You go,
yeah.
I mean,
Ooh.
If you go to like St. Elmo's, by
Tough
all means,
there.
get the French
no,
onion soup.
You gotta get the navy bean soup
get,
at St.
Okay,
Elmo.
By all means,
that's
you're at
different.
A real restaurant.
St. Navy bean.
You
by
have no choice,
means.
Really, at St. Elmo's. They just
right. It's either that or
either
the
that
cocktail.
Or, right.
No socks. You were the first guy to disagree with me. I'm a little disappointed.
No, you're right, but no socks is right.
Got it.
he found the one guy. No, socks is right.
Jared from Swampscott writes, hey guys and Eric, here's another email for you to read. Can you do that for me? A lot of teams are having to overcome major injuries this season. I think most people agree that McCourty has been pretty solid for us so far, and I can't help but
it's
wonder.
McCourty.
Huh?
Even
Socks
gave me looking
at who's
McCourty.
McCourty.
He's been pretty solid for us so far, and I can't help but wonder how he and the rest of the secondary would be performing if Bodden were out there with him. Which injury, Warren, Falk, etc., do you think has impacted the team most? And on the topic of strange Patriots-related dreams, last night I dreamt that Gerard Warren was traded for a package of cold cuts. I guess my subconscious mind doesn't realize the trade deadline has passed.
I would say the Bodden injury has impacted the team the most because without that, McCourty probably doesn't get the chance to start as much as quickly as he did. And Arrington doesn't get bumped up.
Well, no, those things wouldn't happen. But I think McCourty would have ended up being the opposite of...
Butler would have started on the left.
Yeah, but
he would have started there.
Assuming he did the same thing he did this year, McCourty would have taken that spot pretty quickly.
Which is why I said McCourty wouldn't have gotten as much experience as quickly.
Yeah. Maybe.
Which means he wouldn't have developed as quickly.
I think, you know, now that I look at it, you know, I thought they're using Gerard Warren less now. So that tells me that maybe Ty Warren might have been the biggest loss.
I think you can make a good argument for both
yeah.
of them.
I
side with Eric. I think Bodden's injury. I think Ty Warren is a much better player than Lee Bodden. But I think Bodden's injury, given the dearth of cornerbacks, reliable cornerbacks, was bigger. I think they were able to get by in most games with the front seven. This week notwithstanding.
Yeah.
I think they've struggled in every game in the secondary. And by the way, I know it's great to have a rookie cornerback playing and playing every snap. He struggled just like everybody else back there. He had a tough game on Sunday.
He did.
McCourty.
He did. But he's also...
I like him. I like him a lot. I love the physical nature. I like the way he plays.
And
I think he plays cornerback the way, quote-unquote, you're supposed to.
Patriots were out of
I really
sorts.
Like him.
But
he hasn't been great this year. I think everybody thinks he's been great. I don't think he has.
No, he hasn't been great, but he has made progress. He may have taken a little step back like everybody else on Sunday.
I think he's been exactly as you would think a rookie cornerback would be. He's up and down.
But you know what? If you invest a first-rounder in a guy...
He's a good player.
He's got to be out there.
I think he's a good player. I like him.
Ross from Glasgow, a couple random thoughts this week that I would appreciate your views on. Did we ever find out why Hernandez had a day off practice last week?
No. He said he didn't know.
Especially now that story...
I'm serious.
Hernandez said,
I don't know. Where were you yesterday? I don't know. That was a quote. I'm being dead serious. That's what he said.
Especially now that the stories have come out stating that the practices were poor. The whole thing seemed bizarre for a rookie to be given a day off. I was putting two and two together. May have come up with 5M, but if a player is enrolled in the NFL substance abuse program, and by my understanding this does not have to be announced, are there commitments during the season that would cause the player to miss practice?
Incorrect.
And secondly, I managed to watch the Steelers-Bengals. It was struck by Ocho Cinco's frustration. That reminds me of something. Today I was reading ESPN's James Walker's piece on him, which stated that the Bengals may not be interested in picking up his option next year. I know it's early, but given your thoughts on the stuttering offense, do you think the Patriots would be interested moving forward? I think that Ocho Cinco's mind is out of football right now. I think that he's frustrated, and I just don't think mentally he's into the game this year. And earlier we argued about his reality show with T.O. It's clearly not affecting T.O., but I noticed that Palomalu was going to be a guest either with the show's Tuesday night.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Palomalu was a guest on their show. And if I'm the Bengals, if I'm a Bengals fan, you know, obviously Ocho Cinco had to ask Palomalu to be a guest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, what are you doing? Why are you even thinking about...
Be like if Brady had a show and he invited Bart Scott
Colt
or
McCoy
Darrell Revis.
You know,
so T.O. couldn't have asked him because he's playing well?
No, it's Ocho Cinco's show. He brought T.O. in.
But it's the T.O. Cho show.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But, you know...
How it works. The guy who doesn't back up the side of his argument because he's playing well...
I'd be really pissed.
Doesn't have anything to do with it.
Ocho Cinco is not... His head is not in the game this season.
The bad Ocho Cinco reared its head Monday night. You know, he was clearly upset with Palmer for that play. Wouldn't let it go. He's screaming at Palmer. Finally, Whitworth, the offensive tackle, had to yell at him to get out there and get out in his position.
Yeah.
You know,
that was embarrassing.
You know what? T.O. had a much better game, and Chad Johnson did nothing. But as usual, when the game was on the line, Ocho Cinco made a great catch on the sideline to move the chains, and T.O. came up small in the biggest spot, which is normally what he does.
Yeah. But Ocho tweeted out on Monday, you know, does anyone else have experience being unhappy in their workplace?
That was bizarre.
He's got to just focus. Just don't worry about it. Just, ugh.
You think he...
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I was going to say, you think next year, possibility?
Not if he's going to bring all that foolishness with him. If he wants to come in here and play football, love to have him. But if he's going to have a reality show and all
this. I cannot even imagine how badly I am hoping that Bill Belichick brings him in next year.
I hope he does too.
And he does every single one of these things.
Please,
and
God,
then Fred
no.
says, what? What?
Please, God,
what?
No.
All that matters is what happens between the lines.
No.
I so can't wait till week bleeping 16 for that to happen.
The problem is it's not happening between the lines. He needs to refocus on football.
I don't think he's wanted to be there for several years now.
I'm a huge fan of Carson Palmer.
There's something wrong.
There is something wrong.
And it's the quarterback. I'm a huge fan of Carson Palmer, and he hasn't played well for 3 years now. At some point, it's just the quarterback. That's all it is. He's not playing well. You watch some of the plays that even have contributed to T.O.'s big number. He's putting up the most plastic numbers that you'd ever imagine. He's playing well. I give him credit. He's having a nice year, okay? But I'm telling you, I mean, it's like it's 27-7, and here comes T.O. with a big play, you know? That game should have been over. Pittsburgh almost did what the Patriots – Pittsburgh did what the Patriots did in San Diego. They dominated the game and were in total control, and they almost let it slip away with some stupidity in the fourth quarter. That's what Pittsburgh did. And T.O. couldn't take advantage of it because when all of a sudden the game was there to be won, he did nothing. I put it on Carson Palmer. I just don't think he's any good anymore.
John in South Carolina, I understand the quarterback gets all the praise and all the hate. But let's look at everything that is surrounding Brady. His offensive line is patchwork, and Brady is getting a lot of pressure and he's getting hit and sacked. Look at his receivers. Branch is gimpy. Welker gets double coverage, and after all, he really is a rookie tight end. Every other receiver is either injury prone or not showing up. Maybe Tate is the guy, but I can't tell if Brady is not throwing to him or if he's not open. We don't have to have Moss, but we do need a receiver that at least makes the secondary think he's a threat, not to mention we're missing the ultimate binky in No Falk. So we have an A quarterback, a C offensive line, injuries and holdouts, and a C-minus receiver core. What do we expect?
The offensive line is the offensive line that you hope to pretty much go into the season with.
Yeah.
Everybody thought Kazier wasn't as good as Vollmer.
Right.
So Vollmer's replaced
Kazier.
So Vollmer's
out there. Mankins is back.
Mankins
Conley
is back.
Has been
Conley
well,
was
effective.
By,
he hasn't
you think,
been.
You, but you think
no, but
Conley was better.
Been effective.
He's back now.
But you
yes,
think
but
Conley was
effective.
Better.
Yeah.
So it's not a patchwork offensive line. It's the offensive line that...
It's a different offensive line.
Sunday was the offensive line you hoped to go into the season with. Before that, you had a guy playing for Mankins
right.
who was universally regarded as doing a great job. So it's not a patchwork offensive
yeah.
line.
Do you think it's a good offensive line?
No, I think it's an average offensive line.
You think it's average?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they
make their share
I think
mistakes.
They were overrated when they were all going to the Pro Bowl, yeah. and I think they were underrated every time they give up a sack and everybody says that they can't
they're
play.
Terrible. Right. They're yep. somewhere in between.
They're average. They're okay. They're not a huge part of the problem, and they're also not a huge part of the solution.
Thomas from Nova Scotia, as a Steelers fan, I'm very interested to see this game. During training camp, I heard rave reviews of the guy that is going to be replacing the injured LT. I was also very disappointed that Dwyer wasn't on opening game roster as he looked absolutely phenomenal in college. I saw him break like 9 tackles on this one run. If he plays, I think you'll see Mendenhall taking the third down role and see Dwyer more on running play action downs. I have to say that the underneath passing game, in particularly Woodhead, is who I'm worried about. I don't know how well the Pats will be able to run that no huddle because it's going to be a wild atmosphere and the terrible towels will be waving and it will be hard to get the signals in.
That's a good point,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I do think they'll run it.
As per your emailer a second ago, if I were you guys, my primary concern on defense would be Mike Wallace. I haven't heard
yeah.
him even mentioned by you guys so far.
Bill talked about him a lot today.
Raved about him, too, about one of the fastest players you'll see anywhere, not just in this league, and just had nothing but great things to say about him.
Yeah, he's a big play guy. Big play guy. The beginning of that email, I didn't understand. Who's LT?
Timmons?
Lawrence Timmons?
Yeah.
They call him LT.
What about him?
I don't know.
He's a starting inside linebacker.
I'm just thinking that's who he's talking about, right?
Is that what he wrote?
No, he just said LT. That's the only LT I can think of.
On that team, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what the whole big
Well, they have good
part.
Linebackers. Let's face
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course they do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Strengthened their defense for years.
Yeah.
And they just keep recycling them. They
yeah.
get different guys all
do
the
it,
time.
But they seem
and
to be some able
of them
to get linebackers.
Good
some
personnel guy. And what's the guy's name?
What's his face? Kevin Colbert.
Kevin Colbert. Yeah.
But there is a defense where you could say they've got a system, and they plug guys into that system, and it's built for linebackers to make plays.
Well, that's the other thing Bill talked about today too was the fact that the system hasn't really changed over the years with the change of head coaches,
right.
which is very rare.
Right.
And
it's the same
because
guy.
Tomlin was smart enough to
not to
fix
what was,
Dick
wasn't
LeBeau,
broken.
And Tomlin was a defensive coordinator, so that was a pretty tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And he came from the Tampa 2 system that he ran with Minnesota. He was a 4-3 cover 2 guy. And I think he recognized the fact that for Pittsburgh, with their personnel and their experience in that system, this was the wise thing to do. Now, maybe the Rooney said, if you want the job, you're keeping Dick LeBeau, and we're going to run the same defense. Hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's why he did it.
Either way, it worked out
maybe
well
I'm
for
giving
them.
Tomlin too much credit.
Sean says, do you remember when you were around 10 years old and you did something wrong and your mother would tell you, you just wait until your father gets home? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel going into this Steeler game. It's not a matter of you getting your butt kicked. It's a matter of how bad it's going to be. 27-10 Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
See, I think that would be really, really bad. Really. You know, this whole, you know, how bad was the Cleveland loss? If they follow it up with another butt whooping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't see
now
that.
Now the sky will fall.
Fred,
that'd be bad.
I don't see that happening. I really don't.
Are you trying to reassure me?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I don't see it happening this week. I really don't. I know everybody's in the negative Nancy mode this week because they played their worst game of the season.
It's not really.
Yeah.
If you've been listening to our show.
No team in this league can just roll out there and blow away another team. It happens, but it's not. There's no dominant team.
No, but I'm saying,
let's just say the Patriots are not as good as we think they are. There's still not that separation between them and the Steelers that there might have been in the past.
I don't. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I just think they're not going to come out and lay an egg like they did in Cleveland.
I don't either.
Because
I just think that they could play their best and lose. That's what worries me.
Well, that's possible, but for some reason I just don't see it happening. These are the kind of games that,
when they had good teams,
they would win. And if they're going to be a good team, they need to win a game like this. So I'm confident this week, Fred, that your guys are going to do it.
Eleanor writes
if
in.
This isn't the biggest reverse psychology jinx of all time. This is all about Roethlisberger. You realize that?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He can't pick Roethlisberger. He never picks Pittsburgh every week.
I think he's smiling.
Every week he picks against Roethlisberger.
It's true.
It's like you with the Jets in Miami and, you know, the Colts, in all seriousness, and the Raiders. You pick against the same teams every week.
You've rationalized.
In all seriousness.
Yeah, this is the story you want to tell.
Listen. In all seriousness, the quotes that we got.
Are you really going with this?
Would you let me talk? The quotes we got in the locker room Sunday night saying how bad practice was last week.
Yeah. Are we buying that?
No. We've never heard that before.
I'm not buying it at all.
We've never heard that before. We've never heard them blame practice for a loss.
We've never had
the only time they've ever brought up practice is
but
for wins.
I have to wonder, did something happen at practice? I wonder.
I don't know, but
I remember them saying that we didn't practice well before. Maybe not to the extent that they said it this week.
Not to blame it on a loss, though.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they did, was blame the loss on we played how we practice, and we practiced terribly all week. Then to come on Monday and expect them to be all droopy, down at the mouth, I think that it was a wake-up call for them that, you know, some of them even said, like you said, Paul, no team can come out there, roll out of bed and beat another team.
Especially when you're not that good.
Right. And it just, that whole week had the feel of, you know, Cleveland's 2-5, they're not that good, this is a game we have to win, we got two big games coming up, Pittsburgh, Indy. I think they've learned their lesson, and I think you're going to see a very different team this week.
I hope you're right. Eleanor says, Paul and Fred, did Tom Brady sit out because Eric is planning another story about how much he has sucked this year? Wow, I don't know. Are you planning that story?
I'm not planning that story. I just
He wrote it already.
Say that you were the general manager of the New England Patriots and the league completely redrafted all of its players. The Colts held the first pick and selected Peyton Manning. If you had the second pick, who would you add to your team with the second overall selection?
Tom Brady.
Well, are they of that same age they are now, or are they beginning their careers? I don't know.
She's saying right now.
Right now, if everyone's the same age, I might go with Sam Bradford.
It's tough.
You know? Because you're looking at the future. I don't know.
That's tough. I would probably not pick Tom Brady.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah. I would have to do some serious research to determine what I think is best quarterback that's younger.
And Eleanor is assuming that Peyton Manning's going to be the number one pick. Maybe he's not either because of his age.
Yeah, but I think her point was don't pick Peyton Manning. Who would you pick?
But I'm just saying,
let's say
everybody's available, including Peyton Manning.
I would probably pick
Peyton Manning. Really, at this point in his career?
I understand your argument.
Then how come not Brady?
Because I don't think he's anywhere near as productive
as Manning. You're not just drafting for this year. You're drafting for 10 years.
Peyton Manning's older than Brady.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And he's saying he would pick
and
Manning.
He would.
First
but
of
not
all,
Brady.
First of all, they're like
everything
6 months.
Patriots.
They're like 6 months apart. Number one. Number two. Manning is still, in my opinion, playing at a very high level, and Brady's
they're only
not.
6 months
Something
apart.
Like that. They're like less than
even
a year
though he,
apart.
Even though they were 2 years in draft class.
Yeah, because Manning didn't redshirt, and Brady did.
That's right. Good point.
So that they're like, I think they're a year apart.
Good point.
And I'm not sure they're a full year, but you know, I might be wrong. Not the first time.
John in Vermont says,
won't be the last.
Quick
not
question.
Even in this show.
After this thorough ass whooping, do you look at the San Diego and Minnesota game and think maybe those were just lucky wins? It seemed like this game was similar to those games, except instead of the other team making stupid, costly mistakes, we were the ones handing the game to the opponents on a silver platter. It also seems now like we haven't had a truly convincing win outside of the Miami game, and even that relied on 21 special teams points. Your thoughts?
I agree with all of that.
I think San Diego was a lucky win. I don't think Minnesota was a lucky win.
I
think Baltimore was a lucky win.
You do think it was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they were losing the whole game. So?
I think if you play the fourth quarter over again 10 times, the same way you lose 10 times.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
But you know what? That's the margin this year.
I think they tried to do what they did against Baltimore this week against Cleveland, and you saw what happened.
Let's see. Eric.
You got pushed around for three quarters and tried to turn it on in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Manning's a year and a half older.
A year and a half. Okay, I'm wrong. See?
Year and a half.
I told you, I thought it was a half, but it was a year and a half.
Year and a half.
Eric in Brooklyn. Last night I had this dream. Well, actually, Saturday night. It was just before the Browns game. You'll like this. This is a pretty involved dream he had here. There was a
Brady
huge...
also tore his ACL, man.
Since we're talking about dreams. We talked about dreams a lot yesterday.
Yeah, we had a lot of dream analysis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
His dream was kind of disappointing.
Oh, really?
There was a huge stadium constructed that could hold millions of people. The power source that ran the stadium was contained in a large cylindrical mass, metal mass suspended above the middle of the arena. The actual functioning of the power source was mysterious, and its origin could have been otherworldly. Now, the protagonist of the dream was a woman with throat cancer. She was investigating the stadium because she thought that its mysterious power could cure her. The stadium was guarded by Secret Service-style men in black. This woman was so highly surveilled that her Asian lover had to wear a mask at all times. In fact, she did not even know the identity of this masked Asian lover because she was so targeted by the protectors of the stadium. What the hell is going on here? It's not much longer.
Can we end this?
Yeah. The dream culminated in a worldwide festival hosted by Bjork, of all people, at the stadium. The masked Asian man was almost assassinated but pulled off a last-second switcheroo, so the authorities trapped the wrong guy, realizing it after pulling the mask off the dummy. Then my girlfriend woke me up, and I went to a bar to watch the Pats lose.
And had some French onion soup.
I don't know. I don't know how to analyze that. I'd have to know more about you, Eric, in order to do a psychoanalysis. You know, the cylindrical, otherworldly thing has a lot to do with this.
Cylindrical?
And the throat cancer.
I think he's trying to say cylindrical, yes.
You know.
Wow. So. Bjork and...
Yeah.
Women with throat cancer.
Yeah, it's weird.
A lot of childhood issues in there somewhere, it sounds like.
So what do you think of benching Chad Henne? We mentioned it about 45 minutes ago. What do you think of that decision? He hasn't played well, if you haven't been paying attention. Three picks against Baltimore.
You know, again, it's a team making a move in midseason to kind of salvage the season, I guess.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work. I think they just felt that, what the hell? Got to do something.
Who do they got this week?
Me. Forgot.
I don't know.
Forgot.
Maybe Kevin's busy.
Phil, who does Miami have this week? That's right.
Titans. Oh, they're going to lose.
I think they win that game.
Ross says
Miami's party.
Yeah, I think Miami wins.
Last week, the Rats.
I don't think much of the Titans if you haven't been able to figure that out.
I figured it out.
Last week, the Rats' trick plays and amoeba defense caused us problems.
One trick play.
This week, although the Steelers are clearly better than the Browns, do you think they are a little bit more predictable? The defense in particular basically does what it does, but does it well. Their philosophy is, this is what we do, try and stop us. I wonder if this suits Bill and his game planning approach much more, and it means that his young players will know exactly what to expect and how to cope with it come game day. Bill does talk about teams that just do what they do and other teams that don't.
Yeah. Pittsburgh is a team that that generally does what they do on offense. Defense, the very definition of a zone blitz is kind of – that's not really what we do.
Right.
You don't know what they're
going to
do.
You don't know what they're going to do.
The zone blitz is a disguising of where the pressure is going to come from, and different guys on different – depending on different schemes can come. Now, I think the Patriots know generally how the Steelers are going to –
how they
attack.
Use it. Right.
They're going to come at you, but the challenge is recognize where it's going to come from. But I also would say that Pittsburgh is as good as anybody offensively in throwing in wrinkles with trick plays. And we saw one last week on Monday night with the end around to Randall L. and the bomb for a touchdown to Mike Wallace.
Yep.
They're very good at that.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey,
have you listened to the Mikey Vandalism quality MP3?
I have not, but I'll look it up on the email in here.
Okay, because I was going to play it with 5 minutes left, but now we probably don't have time. Thomas writes in, left tackle, you idiots. I don't know what that means.
LT? Oh, it was...
Oh.
He said LT, and he meant left tackle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thought you were talking about a player.
Okay.
But the way you read it, you said LT and Jonathan Dwyer, I think.
Yeah, I don't
know. I thought you were talking about a person.
Maybe. Henry from Maine. So hypothetically speaking, let's say Chad Ochocinco is done with the Bengals after this year and becomes a free agent. Let's also make believe the Patriots are interested and they sign him. Which of the following comes true? One, Aaron Hernandez appeases the veteran, switches to 81, the same he wore at Florida. Ochocinco wears Ochocinco. Ochocinco buys, number two, Ochocinco buys into the Patriots' way, wears whatever number, and starts talking about how being named Ochocinco and wearing a number in the teens is a metaphor of how much a team player he is. Or three, Chad Ochocinco takes number 18 and continues the pattern by changing his name to Chad Diochos. How do you say 18? Diochocho?
You know I don't speak Spanish.
What is it?
Diochocho.
Diochocho. Which of those? I think Hernandez gives him his number.
I think that's probably
what would happen too.
Because Hernandez probably wants 81 too.
Yeah.
So,
as the emailer astutely pointed out, that's
he could take it now if he wanted.
Yeah, but that's now you're dealing with the Moss situation that's still fresh, and you're changing your number mid-season. I wouldn't be surprised if someone came in and wanted 85 if he switched.
Or when the offseason gets here, you just make the switch.
Now,
then.
If there's no one that comes in that wants 85, I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck with it either. But just because, well, it's my new number, I'll make it mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if someone came in and wanted 85, I wouldn't be surprised if Hernandez gave it up.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear his question?
Sure. This is Mikey Vandalism with a premium MP3.
Premium.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming back to PFW in Progress with premium quality. So my question to you guys this week is going to be about Wes Welker and him being almost invisible to the Patriots offense over the past few weeks since Randy Moss's departure. Welker's been garnishing double coverage. He's been blanketed and shut down. It's ridiculous, and I think that's one of the main reasons why the Patriots offense has been struggling over the past few weeks. So my question is going to be this. Do you foresee Wes Welker's production spiking and returning back to his form as the NFL's premier slot receiver? Or do you continue to see this offense sputtering with Welker getting shut down? What the Patriots need to realize is that Wes Welker is one of the few playmakers they have on offense, so they need to feed him the ball more and often so he could get into open space and make the plays that we're accustomed to seeing over the past few years. All right, guys, let's hear what you got to say. Mikey V, I'm out.
All right, so we talked about this earlier. What do we think about Wes Welker's future, at least this year, with the Patriots?
Oh, yeah!
And that'll do it for this edition.
I'm concerned.
One clap.
I'm concerned that his production was aided greatly by the fact that Moss was there to open things up for him. And unless they get somebody to fill that role, I have my doubts as to whether he can be a 100-catch guy.
Yeah, in order to have a slot, you have to have that guy on the outside that creates the slot. Mm. And
I think the biggest, in my opinion anyway, I think the biggest problem with Welker right now has nothing to do with Moss and more
physical,
more
mental.
Physical,
yeah.
And mental.
He even said, there was a quote I read today,
he's
that
not
he has
confident
to start,
in
has
the
to start
knee.
Trusting his
right.
knee.
Yeah, something like that.
So that's a lot of things to consider here going into the Steelers game.
It's a lot of culture.
We'll continue doing that tomorrow as we get ready for the Steelers. I got a little note handed to me. Rook is ready.
What are you ready for, John?
I'm ready for you, Fred.
Oh, okay. How's the basement? Do you get water in your basement?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Is it tough to do the show when there's water in your basement?
No, it's a dry basement.
It's one of those
I have a glass of water here, though. Yeah, it's good. Oh, hey, okay. I want to know, did Andy watch the show last night?
He did. Well, I don't know if he did. He's not here today, but I forgot. So I'll have to watch it Thursday night.
It was unbelievable.
Marcus Dupree.
Yeah, the Marcus Dupree thing?
No.
The best
thing
ever was?
John, can you believe in all sincerity that Andy and Fred never heard of Marcus Dupree?
I never did. I mean, maybe Fred. I did at the time, but it just has escaped me.
I just think that the guy was...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I could understand if he was like this great player from 1950 who never was because of injuries. And
no, I know.
It was in the prime of
but I wasn't a big college football
sports
fan.
Watching. I mean...
I went to
Emerson. I just don't know how you could not have heard of him.
What?
I'm just astounded by the fact that you never heard of him.
Yeah, well, I might have heard of him.
Do you know everything about him? No, you don't need to know everything. But just he played
Marcus
for Oklahoma.
Marcus Dupree was from Philadelphia, Mississippi. No. He was the subject of one of the most intensely fought recruiting battles, certainly of the 1980s. But, I mean,
it probably exceeded
all
the
time,
salary
perhaps.
Cap to get him. It was Barry Switzer in the height of his
heyday
at Oklahoma.
But he never played in the NFL, right?
Yes, he did play in the NFL.
He
did?
Played for the Rams.
Played for who?
Briefly for the Rams.
And he also played in the USFL, I believe.
Well, that's the story.
I honestly do not remember this guy.
Marcus Dupree signed, or at least verbal, to Texas and then skipped out on Texas. Of course. And then he skipped out on Texas to sign with Oklahoma and Barry Switzer, which is why the whole, cheating thing and he must have paid him kind of thing broke out. That stuff never came out in the story last night. But he left Oklahoma after a season and a half because he hated Switzer. Switzer rode his butt unmercifully. And Switzer had decided, well, I wasn't going to treat him any differently than anybody else, even though he clearly, and Switzer even said so, he was the best player on that team as a freshman. And of course, this was a
remarkable combination of speed and power.
He was, you got to see this guy. You got to see this to believe him. He was clearly superior in all aspects of his game. I know Andy's a huge, Bo Jackson fan. He could have been Bo Jackson and then some.
The only difference between the two is that Bo Jackson got hurt 10 years later.
I think there's
nothing. That's exactly right, Paul.
There's nothing more sad in life than talent.
Unfulfilled
or unfulfilled.
Well, but the story, like I'm going to give away.
It's the way my parents feel about me.
Exactly.
I can see
there
that.
You too.
I may be giving it away here, but just briefly, I will tell you that his goal in life after he tore up his leg in the USFL was he just wanted to come back and play football. So he was out of football for almost 5.5 years. The Rams took a shot at him, and he actually played for 15 games with the Rams before he was cut. And he said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I did what I wanted to do. Proved to myself I could come back and do it.
Mm. Okay.
And what's he doing? What's he doing these days?
He drives an 18-wheeler.
Huh.
That's what he does.
But does he listen to our show? Because we get a lot of truckers.
I wonder if he knows Eldridge.
I don't know. But
maybe he does.
You got to do yourself a favor. You got to watch the show.
All those 30-30s have been fantastic.
They are fantastic. But this one is right there at the top.
Yeah. All right, John, who do you got on your show today?
Bill Hillgrove, the voice of the Steelers. And, of course, our own Eric Scalavino coming up.
Scav.
Great.
I'll be there, yeah.
All right, Scav.
Eric will be by, and we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of PFW in Progress. See you then.
Okay.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.